Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another fantastic night of Fandom Access. I'm your ever-faithful host, AJ. Greetings and salutations. So we've got Van Helsing this week added to our list, and Big Sky is back with two episodes. And I see Karen is here. Hello,
good evening,
Karen.
AJ. How are you? Hi.
I'm better now that I'm done watching Big Sky.
Yeah. 2 hours of Big Sky to talk about tonight, but I don't think it would really take that long.
No.
It's not, you know, we can talk longer about one really good episode than we can talk about these two kind of setup episodes tonight.
Yeah. Jamie, I don't know if you saw her text. Jamie's going to be about 5 minutes late. So.
Yeah.
She's
posting something. She's posting like an interview to the website, which she said she had to post as soon as the show ended, but I don't know what show it is that was on tonight that she's posting about. So maybe she'll tell us what exciting interview she's putting up. But yeah, she'll be in a minute or two. It's rare that we have right now on Fandom Access, all of us watch all of the shows.
I don't watch Fear of the Walking Dead.
Yeah.
You and Jamie actually watch all the shows. Usually it's you watch all the shows and Jamie watches the first two and then I watch the rest.
Yeah. So tonight we have Van Helsing, Fear the Walking Dead, Debris, Manifest, Big Sky. Woo! Packed schedule. It's almost like life is getting back to normal.
For me, only one of those three that I'm going to talk about tonight is worth anything.
We're in a bit of a drought. I didn't say all the good shows were getting back to normal. Bad shows are all on right now.
You know what? I got to say, Manifest, actually, I'm actually really liking this season so far. And I think part of that is because Olive has been very, you know, like, see, I don't know. Season one, she was really good. Season two, I kind of put her on the back burner. But this season, I feel like, I mean, it's only three episodes in.
Yeah.
She's been at the forefront the whole time, which I think helps the show. But we'll get into that more when we talk about it.
It's one of the better shows that we're watching right now.
Yeah. It all depends on what we're watching at the same time.
Yeah. Well, it's almost rebooted. I mean, it's not rebooted, but it's like a whole new, like, storyline going on.
Yeah.
Things have really changed.
Which is good, though, because, I mean, you know, shows need to evolve, and,
unlike some shows
where they haven't even figured out what they are yet, like Debris. And then you have Big Sky. I actually have some kind of positive things to say about Big Sky, but it's kind of a backhanded compliment in a way.
I will look forward to hearing that.
So, you watching anything else these days other than what we talk about?
Yeah, I still watch Magnum P.I., which is a bit of a, I mean, it's not an appointment program for me. It's on Friday,
right.
And I DVR it, and then I watch a couple. I find that Jay Hernandez really likable as Magnum. You know, I currently happen to be watching a lot of old Magnum also. It comes on, like, broadcast TV. It's on at, like, 10, 11, and 12 at night.
Yeah.
And so when I go to bed, I just turn it on and let old episodes of Magnum run till I go to sleep. And so someday we'll have to talk about, like, the similarities and differences of these two shows. But I watch Magnum P.I. I like it.
Well,
I watch
Magnum is your you're doing with Magnum what I did with Hawaii Five-0. I started out with Hawaii Five-0 just for nostalgia, and then I actually really liked it and watched it all the way through.
Yep. Yeah. So I watched that. What else do I watch? I watched a couple other things that I don't even know what's being recorded for me right now.
Did you ever get around to checking out that show Invincible to see if you'd like it on Amazon, the Robert Kirkman show.
No, I haven't watched that yet. I hear it's a cartoon, and I hear it's ultra violent.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's really crazy. Oh, there's
like
Jamie.
In terms of the violence or the story in general.
Hello.
I want to check it out.
It's
both.
Like I mean, like,
but hi.
Like I said, Karen, you're either going to love it or you're going to hate it. I think that's been the big thing with people. Either the violence is too much. I mean, you'll be able to tell after the first episode whether or not you're going to keep watching it or not because of the violence.
Okay.
And being that it's animated,
right.
You know, like there's so much more they can do with the violence with animation than live acting for obvious reasons. So.
Yeah. All right.
How are we tonight,
Jamie? Hi, Jamie.
Hello.
Hi again.
Hello. Oops, hi. Sorry, just getting
how you doing
here. So, I am good. You?
Oh, not bad. Not bad.
We are good.
We're pretty good.
So, what do we want to talk about first tonight?
You guys should do Fear and Van Helsing, and then I'll join you after that.
Yeah.
Works for me.
Okay, let's do Fear of the Walking Dead.
All right. I'm trying to get the recap I have up here. All right, so you talk, because I already, you know, I've seen it a while ago. So
you've seen it a while ago. You've watched, have you seen the whole back half of the season? Have you seen all of it?
No, I had just seen these two before I did the interview with Garrett, so.
Okay, so I thought this episode was okay. I think there was a lot of stupidity in it, but that's the Walking Dead franchise. Every episode, every one of these shows has stupidity that you have to just sort of look past.
This is true.
I thought it was decent. We've seen so much worse on this show. We've seen better on this show. And it was really surprising to see another Glee, right? But to see two kind of major characters, I mean, two major characters, I guess. I guess you'd call Ginny a major character because she was the major villain.
Right.
To see two major characters die like that two episodes in a row is kind of shocking. But, like, then you got to remember that ordinarily would have, like, a six-month break in between. It was, or a three-month break or whatever it would have been, right? Like, that would have been finale. I did feel that there was not appropriate mourning for John Dory. I felt like everyone just sort of acted really normal that John died. Nobody really seemed that upset except June.
I'd agree with that.
And from reading cast interviews, the ones you've done and some other ones, like, they've all talked about, and the showrunners, about how this back half is going to be so dramatic and everyone's going to be shaken and things are going to happen. And like, nobody really seemed to react.
Maybe
to
mean the viewers.
Yeah.
No, you're
now,
right.
Now,
I mean,
now maybe.
I think they're a little busy, but still.
Well, you know, maybe because they planned these episodes to run, like, with a three-month gap in between, like, maybe, like, the audience would not. Like, the audience would have processed it and been done with it. And maybe, as an audience, we wouldn't have wanted to watch a lot of mourning for John Dory when it felt like it happened so long ago. That was the way they planned it, right? But it happened,
That's true.
A minute ago. Like, it happened literally, like, the day before on this show. And, like, nobody really seemed to react. And so I'm not sure badly written. Like, you know, John is supposed to be, like, you know, the showrunners in interviews are talking about John as the heart of the show, the heart of the group and the moral center of the group. And like, no one really seems to really be that bothered. Like Alicia, of course, Alicia spoke like three lines, you know, she's criminally unused on the show.
Yeah.
And people just didn't really seem to be, so that bothered me a little bit, but it could be the break.
Yeah,
it could
be.
The way
I know
it didn't
Morgan,
break properly.
I was going to say, Morgan made the point of saying he was his best friend, but yet he didn't seem to even care or say anything about it. I mean, there was a lot going on. I don't know that they necessarily had time to stop and think about it. I mean, I could see them maybe mourning the next episode. If they just completely drop it, then I don't know, then it's weird. But, I mean, definitely what happened last week is kind of what propelled all this to happen. So I think it's good that storyline's over. And I know every time I talk, you keep saying, I hope they kill Ginny. I don't want to see anyone. I'm just like, I can't say anything.
Yes.
And then you tell me, I'm like, you must not have watched the end because you're like, I don't understand. Where's Ginny? And I'm like, you didn't watch the end of it, because I knew that there was no way you wouldn't get she was dead. And I'm like, what did she do?
I forget. This show was always like,
I think you didn't realize it wasn't done.
Like an hour is over, and I'm like, oh, it's 10 o'clock. It's over. No, there's always like 11 extra minutes on The Walking Dead, right? So I hadn't seen the whole last scene, and then I was so glad to see her killed, because I mean, I've always hated Ginny. Like, okay, you're supposed to hate her because she's a villain, but I also didn't think she was a good villain, and I thought, you know, typical, like, Walking Dead franchise villain has to be sort of cartoony, right, with like, a crazy accent and stupid clothes and silly turns of phrase, and there's never been any villain on The Walking Dead. Maybe the governor was the last villain that I understood why anybody would follow them. Like, it was really difficult to understand how Ginny, like, had power over all these people. So I'm glad she's dead, and I'm glad June did it. And I think, I mean, so let me ask you, do you think June did the right thing? I mean, we talked, I know what you think because we texted about it, but tell the fans, the listeners, do you think she did the right thing?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I kind of feel like, and this is what we talked about, that Ginny, or not Ginny, Dakota is old enough, she knows what she's doing, and for her to completely blame it on Ginny. I mean, she did screw up Dakota, but at the same time, like I said, Dakota's old enough to know what it was wrong. So putting all the blame on her, I don't know, but maybe she wanted that revenge. Maybe she didn't want to kill a kid. I don't know, but I'm glad she killed her. I'm curious what's going to happen. I mean, it looks like she just leaves. With the way things have been this season, she may just leave and be gone for a while. I don't know. So I'm not sure what the fallout's going to be, if people are going to be happy, if they're going to be like, she was the hero. We don't know what the fallout from that's going to be. But I'm assuming that it's not going to be too long before we get more about the, whatever you want to call them, the doomsday group, that spray paints everything. The only thing I'm wondering, too, is I think it was 2 weeks ago, I'm trying to think when I seen it. I think Morgan had originally said that Ginny and her were going to leave, right?
He was going to exile them out. Was like, this town ain't big enough for all of us. You got to, like, take the gulch and get out.
So my question is, I'm wondering if they're going to keep that up. I feel like they're not going to kick her out after what just happened, because, well, one, she has nobody, and she is – I mean, she could live alone. She's not that young, but, I mean, she's still a kid, but – she also just saw her get murdered in front of her. I just have a feeling that that's going to stop them from kicking her out, which is not necessarily a good thing. I don't know. What do you think about that? Do you think they'll still kick her out?
No, I think they're going to let her. I think Morgan's going to let her stay, because Morgan is the worst, right? And so, like, I think Morgan's decision with Ginny was not right. So, like, to let Ginny and Dakota go and get off scot-free basically was not a right decision. And I feel like, complained a lot about Morgan the pacifist is not a good character, but Morgan the pacifist is also not a good, like, leader of this group. And every time he decides to let someone, anytime anybody on any Walking Dead show decides to let someone live, it's always going to come back and bite them in the ass, right?
Well, and that's the thing too, is he let it go, and that's how John ended up dead. I guess at that point they didn't know, but I don't know. It's just kind of like he keeps doing that. And granted, I don't know that many people would have done what they wanted him to do. And that's what we were talking about, too. They wanted her to suffer, wanted gruesome death, and he's like, in a way, he was kind of like going to give her mercy so she didn't have to suffer at their hands. So I'm not even necessarily sure that him killing her was, like, the quote-unquote morally bad thing necessarily. Well, not the morally worst thing, anyway. Still bad. you still don't want to kill somebody, but... But, in a way, it would have been mercy. So, and in the end, I think there would have been a lot less pain on everybody's end if he had just done it. I get him not doing it, but at the same time, he could have turned her over, should have turned her over.
I think just letting her leave is a major mistake, right? Like, his wanting to just let her leave is like letting her get away with it with, like, almost no okay, so she lost everything, but she didn't really, right? Like, he'd be letting her get away with it and preventing everyone else from having any sort of justice or closure. And so, like, should you have a trial? Probably. Put her in jail? Yeah, that's what we would have done in the pre-times, but this is not a society
where
you could...
Yeah, but we don't want to see the Negan storyline either. Again, you know what I mean? Like, it would have been so much the same at the same time.
And it's just not a – and they don't have a society where they can have a jail. Like, at least Alexandria's a little more equipped to have a jail, and they have a lot more people or whatever. Like, Morgantown, which I'm sorry. Eric Kane in Forbes was calling it Morgantown, and I have been to Morgantown, West Virginia, and now I can't call it anything except Morgantown. So Morgantown is not an organization, a place that can have a jail. They're not equipped for that, right? But, like, right. Before he exiled her, they could have, like, had some sort of trial or some sort of, like, justice kind of thing and then banished her. Maybe she gets killed. Like here's the other thing. But Morgan gets it aside for everyone is also kind of a problem, right? Like, why does Morgan – okay, Morgan did start Morgantown, so he can say, like, inside Morgantown nobody gets killed. But Strand, I mean, who's the better leader here? Strand got all of the Rangers to be on his side except for, like, two of them. Like, Strand
– Yeah,
that was kind of awesome. That was kind of an awesome –
No, that was awesome.
Wasn't it?
I really liked that part. I like how they all turned against Jenny, too. And he's like, you told me to get an army. Like, you dumbass. No, but yeah. I don't know that Strand would be a good leader either, though. At this moment, better leader, yes. But I feel like it would even go more to his head, and it probably would not work out well. But I guess we'll see, because I feel like there's kind of two groups right now. I mean, the other people, I don't know. I mean, I guess maybe they're not looking at him as their leader. Maybe they are, but I guess we'll kind of find out how it goes along. But yeah, definitely better. Even Alicia would have, although Alicia, I don't know if she'd necessarily be the main leader, could work either. But right now, you know, other than Morgan, it maybe would be better.
So, I mean,
but we're going to, you know, have to see the fallout and what happens.
Yeah. I think Strand is going to be the leader of Lawton because he already has all the Rangers loyal to him, right? So I think I kind of see Morgan and Strand a little bit like Maggie and Rick, where remember when Rick was the head of Alexandria and Maggie was at Hilltop and there was some stress between them because of Negan, because Rick didn't want to kill Negan and want to put him in jail, right? And Maggie's like, you need to kill that son of a bitch. So, and there was that, they were like friends and allies, but kind of like she kind of was really pissed. So it could be a little similar. And then Sherry is sort of a, oh my God, can we talk about Sherry and Dwight? Because what a horrible, horrible story that has been from start to finish, huh?
Okay. First of all, I have a big problem with it. The first thing is that everybody liked John and June because it was a good love story and they were sweet and everything and it's great and I get that they broke them up and they killed them, but to like screw up the other couple, I just don't understand, and it seems very, I don't know, not believable to me. Dwight, now granted, Dwight's not the one that's arguing about it, but I mean, they've gone and looked for each other for how long, she left them messages for how long, and they're married and all this happened, and it's just like, she's just like giving up on them all of a sudden, like this is more important. I mean, I just think that they should work it out. I think that for her to just be so dismissive, I don't know. It just didn't work for me. I didn't find it believable.
I
mean, not that
you
have to have a happy ending. I'm not saying that. I didn't find it. It didn't work for me.
Like when you find your spouse in the apocalypse like that, after we had to watch for a whole season of them leaving notes for each other, and it was, I mean, it was ridiculous enough that they always found the notes. They better be together, damn it. And for her to then be like, Dwight, I'm not where you are. I can't live in there. I'm like, what are you even talking about? Like, so Ginny's gone. You don't get to kill Ginny. And, like, what is she saying? That she's not able to live in like, a quasi-civilized Morgantown? Like all he's asking is live with me in Morgantown.
She didn't get to do what she wanted. That's what
I
think.
I guess.
I didn't get to kill her, so now I'm going to be a bitch about it.
Yeah. So she's going to go, like, live down the road and like, so maybe they're like the saviors that went and lived down the town and, you know, they lived nearby also and were, I don't know. And she's got the truck, like Al's truck has got to go. I feel like Al's truck is a character that has outlived its usefulness also. And it was kind of an interesting tool for like a season or two. And now I'm like, seriously, you still have gas and bullets for that thing? And like, you're still driving that thing around? Like that thing has, I don't know. I feel like, I don't know. Like, maybe I would like Sherry to leave and not be on the show anymore.
Thing to save them a lot, though. But, yeah, they could.
I would like Sherry maybe to leave because she's the worst.
Yeah, I don't even care anymore. I do hope that, and I'm assuming we just haven't seen it because of we should say the first episode back, considering the other one was supposed to be the mid-season finale or whatever. Or not the mid-season. Yeah, it would have been the mid-season finale. I am hoping that we're going to get Alicia soon. Although the only question I have about that is that it looks like from the previews, and maybe it's just because I'm thinking about the horrible taxidermy episode, it makes it seem like, and like you can tell me, maybe it's just me, but it makes it seem like it's going to be her alone, and it's not necessarily. But I guess they are breaking up the group, so it's hard to see. I don't know. It just reminds me of that, and it's like, yeah. I don't want to see that. I want to see her with the group. So
I want to see her.
I don't know.
I want to see her like lead the group. Like Alicia should be the star of the show, right? Like, like I don't know why Alicia Denman Carey doesn't like get another job, because like she has had nothing to do. Like she didn't really do. This was a huge episode. She said like two sentences and did like nothing, and she. Like, she continues to, like, be a second fiddle to both Morgan and Strand. And, she, like, she should just go form her own town, Alicia Town. Because I'm really frustrated at not seeing her really have anything to do. It's partly because they have too many people. Like, I'm glad they're killing people. I hope they kill someone every week because there's too many damn people on this show also, right?
No, there's too
many. Which reminds me, did
right
you
now they're
going to
have everybody split up, so...
Did you see Wendell in this episode?
He was supposed to be there, but I didn't see him. Was he in it?
No, I didn't see him. And I thought, like, when Ginny gets on the radio and says, I want every single person we took out of that gulch brought here, right? And she has them all kneel down like she's going to shoot them, which actually was a completely stupid plan, right? Like, you're like, oh, Morgan, I'm going to shoot Grace in the head. Do you not think you'll immediately shoot Dakota in the head if you do that, Ginny? Like, what kind of stupid-ass plan is that?
Well, we've already established that the writing of her villain isn't so great. But, I don't know.
But,
I mean, he's supposedly safe. Maybe they didn't want to pay him. I don't know.
Yeah,
you know,
maybe they don't want to pay him. Or maybe they're like, sorry, COVID, you're the only guy that can't be in the scene.
Yeah, well, they probably didn't want to get more people than they had to. But, yeah,
I don't know. Did you see that they had them all kneeling like 10 feet apart from each other in the street? Very COVID, very social distance in the street. Maybe they didn't. Maybe they're too lazy to, help him with his wheels. I don't know, but I was like,
I was wondering if it's something to do with that, but I wouldn't think so.
He's a person with disabilities. Let's not bother to have him in the scene because, like, Morgan won't care. Like, I was like, what? He has value too. Bring him out here.
Yeah, I know they should have, but I think it's probably just something like they didn't want to pay an extra actor. I think it's probably all.
I think so. Yeah. Yeah, I think you're right.
That's why I'm surprised, like, they had Mo in there, and she really hasn't had that much to do lately either, but.
There's too many people. I like Mo, I like Wendell, but there are too many people on this show. And the problem with it is that it causes people not to have enough to do. Like, causes somebody like, okay, I'm not going to say that Mo is taking time away from Alicia, because she's not. It's Morgan and Strand that are taking time away from Alicia. Being a better, it's the writers that are taking time away from Alicia being a better.
Yeah, but they need, I think, do a little bit less Morgan, and not that Morgan. I mean, I like Morgan, but he does kind of waffle too much, and it starts to get annoying.
Yeah,
so,
he does. So, in answer to your question, I think they don't make Ginny. They don't make. I think you could. So, I think if it was you and me and AJ, we'd be like, "Sorry, Dakota, you're still exiled. You're like 16.
We would have already shot her. Let's be honest.
Right? It's been like 10. Yeah, we would have shot her. But I think she's been raised in the apocalypse since she's very small. Right? It's been like 10 years now. I think they could still exile her. I think they won't. I think she'll be like a baby Negan, and they'll keep her locked up, chained up in that. I do like the ankle, the leg chains, the leg irons. That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
But I think they'll keep her locked up there. And I think Morgan is going to, like, sort of be like, you know, remember how Virginia was like, I thought she needed me, but what she really maybe needs is you. She needs this place. I feel like Morgan's going to, like, take it on himself to, like, rehabilitate Dakota.
Yeah.
And I think
the other thing. Yeah, I'm just going to say, not for nothing, though. I don't know. Do you think that she could be okay on her own? I mean, she has been kind of, I don't know how much she's done on her own, because Ginny's kind of like locked her up and coddled her, too. But I still think that she'd be okay that they should kick her out. I just don't think they will.
Yes. I think she's done more on her own than anybody thought. Like, clearly she snuck out of Lawton with a whole bunch of medication and, like, stitched up Morgan and all that, right? We're like, what?
She somehow knows surgery and she
knows how to fire a gun, and she knows how to knife people to death, and she's killed walkers, and like I think part of the show, the message of the show partly is like, you can't survive on your own, you have to be in a group, is one of the things they're trying to tell us all the time. But Get rid of her. Who cares? She murdered two people. It's too dangerous to keep her around. She thinks it's okay.
Yeah.
She murdered that guy in Lawton because he found out that she was sneaking out and told Ginny. Like, that's a very...
Yeah, how we had said it wasn't, like, to keep her secret because he had already told her. If it was to keep her secret, it would make more sense. Like, it's still not okay, but it would make more sense. But the fact that she already knew, it makes no sense.
And it's still an inappropriate response. Like, find another way out.
Oh,
right. Like... John, like, she's too dangerous to keep around. But I think she's going to be Morgan's next project.
Probably. Although I do think some of the conversations between Morgan and Ginny about her were interesting, especially when, like, Ginny did not want to believe that she saved him. It's like Ginny's probably like, that was not what she wanted.
And that she didn't believe. So, two things. So, I did feel like, I was like, Ginny, do you even know Dakota? It was like she didn't even know this kid at all. Like the idea that Ginny wanted her dead was so shocking. I was like, well, you know she hates you, right? Because everybody knows she hates you. She tells everyone she talks to. So that was a little and then there
I
was also
think,
I mean, go ahead.
No, you might be going to say what I was going to say. I was just going to say it was pretty obvious, I think, to me at by this episode, especially by some of what was said, that she was going to be revealed to be her mother. I think that was.
I think so, too.
I think so much like her. I mean, I know that they're not related, but, I mean, she does look like a lot like her. But, I mean, I just thought, too, because she had made comments before about I didn't kill your parents or whatever, was kind of like throwaway. But you would think that Dakota would have known whether or not she killed, you know what I mean? Like, it just seems strange. Obviously she had to be really, really little to be saying it, not actually knowing what happened. So, but that's neither here nor there. It's not really important.
I agree with you. That was all pretty much laid out for us to see. Like she didn't just say like, no, she's wrong. I didn't tell her parents. She, like the way she said it was like, no, she's wrong. It was always sort of like Colby Minifee has done some good work on the show. I think some of her work has not been that great, and I don't blame her. I blame the director and the writers because, she was great in this. Colby Minifee, this was probably her best episode, right, where she got to really be a person and not, like, this cartoon
and
character Sheriff of Lawton.
I think that's the problem with the show a lot of times because, I mean, you think about it, even Morgan, we complain about Morgan's being crappy, but, I mean, Lenny James is an amazing actor. So it's not – his fault, you know. To some extent they take what they're given and they go with it, and if it's badly written, it's not, you know, necessarily anything they can do about it.
They can do what they can do.
I mean, I think there are a lot of people that still watch this. I mean, I think they maybe don't mind kind of like that over the top craziness because I don't know. I mean, it used to be when we watched Walking Dead, you really watched it for the characters and the good writing at the beginning, you know, and like it was about that kind of stuff, but it just so has moved on from that. Although I will say, usually the writing on Fear has been better the past couple years than the regular show. So
I did think that a lot of the Ginny is my mother stuff was kind of dumb this week. Like, I felt like when it all came out, like, it's been laid out for us and we kind of suspected it, but I think it was dumb the way it played out. So Ginny says, like, oh, I got pregnant really young and my parents didn't approve and they didn't want anybody to know. So we just told Dakota I was her sister, not her daughter, like, whatever. So that's a very 1950s kind of a thing. I'm sure it still happens in the 2000s in certain communities that are maybe, you know, I don't want to, like. So Ginny is from either Oklahoma or Texas, right? She's from Oklahoma. She's from Texas, wherever. She's maybe from a small town. She's maybe from some sort of – but none of it was explained. Like, she never said, like, I came from a really small town with a religious background. She's like, oh, my parents didn't approve. And so we told her she was the daughter. And then she's like, I killed my parents to protect her.
Really shitty parents.
But there's
to kill somebody either.
And there's no reason, like, she never says, like, they were abusive. They, like we don't even know. Were they abusive? Were they, like, why exactly did she kill these people? It's, like,
even if it had been something like they tried to take her away from me or you know, like, maybe they tried to take her and adopt her somewhere. Like, I could maybe, not that those are good reasons to kill somebody, but, I mean, at least maybe you could understand the motivation, but they just haven't given us motivation.
No, they completely glossed over any reason why Ginny had to kill these people, because just because they were, like, ashamed that you got pregnant as a teen and didn't want anybody to know, it's not really a reason to kill them, right?
Right, but we don't know that's
never,
why either.
We don't know. We have no reason why. Also, we just know she killed them, and we don't really, I mean, that's a huge hole, and that maybe would have helped Dakota, right? Like, and also, we don't, did she kill them pre-apocalypse or post-apocalypse or, like I just
I
felt
don't
like,
know.
I just felt like Jimmy killed the parents was a useless and stupid piece of side information that didn't really help anything, and I think... I think if they want to give us a storyline where supposedly Ginny built 10 towns, including Lawton, because she wanted to give her daughter a better life, and she, I don't know. I mean, that's maybe more believable
maybe not
than,
teacher
like,
being killer.
This killed the
yeah.
parents' business. And also, I don't understand why, okay, it's been like 8 years now, 10 years. I don't know. This show is like 5 years behind Fear the Walking Dead, but it still has been, okay, so this is season six. So it's was there a time jump or is it just
well,
been
they
6 years?
Didn't have,
since...
Yeah, if they didn't have the time jump, then I believe it's 6 years behind. But I don't know, are they still behind? I don't think they had a time jump like the other show.
So at no point in 6 years, Ginny felt maybe she would tell her daughter that she was her mother. Like your parents are dead, there's nobody to judge you for being a teen mom, and at no
and
point does she ever
it's been
feel
more than 6 years. Because I feel like mm-hmm. if we're saying, and I don't even know how old Dakota's supposed to be, but say she's 16, I would think that 10 years old, she would be old enough that she actually would have known whether she killed them or not, you know? Like,
yeah.
she obviously
yeah.
didn't see her killing them. So,
yeah.
she, although maybe Ginny didn't deny it, but it seems like she did. So I don't know. I have a
so
feeling
more
like when it happened,
years,
she
probably.
Was really little. So I think it's probably been more than
yeah.
that. I mean,
yeah.
I can understand her
no
not wanting
point...
to tell her, but that doesn't mean she shouldn't have at some point.
I think
yeah,
maybe
I don't
it
know.
Would have come up in like the, at least in the last 6 years where there's nothing really happening except like sitting around Lawton. Yeah, it just to me that whole part was an unmiss. I don't know. It was just kind of really like it doesn't make sense. Like,
mm-hmm.
and it kept bringing back to you ever see Chinatown? This movie with Jack Nicholson where this
long time ago
where,
I don't remember
you know,
it.
My sister, my daughter, and Jack Nicholson slapping her. I know ages, you know. You know, and it's set in a time and place where people kept these kind of secrets differently. I don't know. I mean, I just felt like I don't know. I felt like somebody in the writers' room thought it'd be really cool that Ginny's really the mother. But they weren't able to really like write out a backstory that survives pulling those threads. I mean, I shouldn't care.
Yeah,
I'm just glad Ginny's dead because I hated her so much, and I'm glad she's gone.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad June killed her. And I really want to see more of badass June. Like June is the only person who can do what needs to be done. June, I think June should have killed Dakota. I think Dakota's too dangerous to keep around. Dakota is like
yep.
needs to look at the flowers.
Yep.
Right.
But we did have, I do think the conversation, and we talked about this a little bit, though, was interesting, kind of how she said, like, her daughter got everybody killed, and that it kind of was karma, it came back around. But obviously what June did
yes.
is not the same thing, because June did not purposely kill people or anything else. But,
well, nor did
June's
daughter Rose. Her daughter died of pneumonia while June was missing. Like, June goes on a supply run. While she's gone, the daughter dies and infects everyone. So what really could
yeah, but
June
I think
do about
what
that?
I was trying to remember, and maybe I'm misremembering, but I thought there was something like she locked her in there or something. Like she didn't want them to know she was sick, so she hid her there or something. And then like she turned, and that's why she killed them all. But I honestly can't remember details, but I feel like there was something like that. I don't
when
know.
When she came back,
but,
everybody was turned, and supposedly the daughter had died of pneumonia. And turned and like,
which is a lot different.
Did everybody
did?
yeah. The idea that June is like, you know, I didn't. I mean, I can understand June's guilt about that. I just don't even understand how it even relates at all to.
It doesn't.
Like,
but it,
Dakota.
I think that like the scene was interesting that she said that, but yeah, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. But still.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
yeah. All
at
right.
least Ginny's gone at this point.
Yeah.
They're gonna move the story along. Assuming we don't have, you know, the crazy leaders now. We've got Morgan's group, and it looks like Strand's group or Sherry's group, or I'm not sure. Maybe they're all going to be the same group, but they're disagreeing with Morgan at the moment. So,
And in the promos, we have a new
Morgan. Sorry, I was just going to say, do you think Morgan necessarily even cares if he's leader or not, though? I feel like Morgan doesn't necessarily want to be the leader. It's just everybody kind of makes him the leader, whether he wants to be or not.
Okay. I don't think Morgan necessarily wants to be the leader, like intellectually thinks I want to be the leader, but Morgan wants everyone to do what he says. Like Morgan wants to be like, let's kill, okay, this year I'm not going to kill people. Okay, this couple months I'm going to kill some people. Now I don't kill anymore. Now, like Morgan, like he's got this like central conflict that is a little overwrought in the way the writers do it. Because I think after 6 years of having to kill people, maybe he would have come to terms. But anyway, the writers write him this way, and he's got this conflict about, like, kill or don't kill. And I feel like Morgan, like, whatever Morgan's win is this year, like, okay, we're not killing. Nobody's killing. You want to live in Morgantown? No killing, right? Well, sorry, Morgan, but there's another lunatic who's about to come and take Ginny's place. Like, white-haired guy is coming, right? That guy in the promo. There's another insane person
coming. Yeah, not that he knows
next villain.
Anything about it, but yeah.
And you got to kill people. It's a struggle, like, but, so yeah, I don't think Morgan wants to necessarily be the leader per se, but Morgan wants everyone to do what he, to follow his lead, and therefore you have to.
Although not for nothing, he may say he doesn't want to kill people, but I mean, he killed the people of Dakota's convoy, so I don't know that right now he's refusing to kill people, but I guess it depends. He goes back and forth so much. We'll have to wait and see.
I guess, yeah.
Right.
I guess. I don't know. He's annoying. All right.
Yeah.
Let's move on.
Maybe
we should we'll have another week.
Move on. I was going to say we've been talking about that a lot.
All right. Let's get to Van Helsing.
Yeah. All right. So the start of the season is obviously like a sort of origin story. The thing that still confuses me, and I don't know if I missed something or they just didn't explain it, and I think you had mentioned something about this we were talking about, but when we last saw Jack, she was, like, locked in a coffin. I don't know if it's supposed to be that she time-traveled or if it's supposed to be that her mind is in somebody else, like happened with Vanessa. I would think the latter makes more sense, but they at no point said that. So that part irritates me because I don't know what you're supposed to think. But other than that, I mean, I like the storyline. I don't know that the storyline was necessary. Like, I don't think we necessarily needed the backstory of how the Dark One came to be. But I do think that, these are like, I forget how many, this group of episodes is kind of like its own self-contained story, and I think it's good. I just don't know that, like I said, I don't know we necessarily needed to see it. But I enjoyed it. But what do you think? It didn't have quite as much craziness as the end of last season, at any rate.
So the first time I watched it, I was texting with you a lot about how much I hated this episode, and I'm texting you like it must drive you crazy because you've seen it like a couple months ago, and I'm like texting you like, this is horrible. And then I fell asleep.
Not quite that long, but yeah.
I fell asleep in the last third of the episode. I'm not going to blame the episode per se. I've been working really hard. I didn't even turn it on until 10:30, and that's why I fell asleep, right? And I rewatched the entire episode the next day, and I hated it, or a couple days later, I hated it less. I agree.
I thought that was funny because you're like, I hate this, I hate this. And you're like, that wasn't as bad as I thought it was.
I mean, I didn't like it, but I didn't hate it as much as when I was
like, it just was funny when you did that.
Bam, you're 5 minutes. I also did not need to see the origin story of the Dark One. Like, personally, I kind of prefer for the Dark One to just be this, like, incredible evil that we don't really know where it came from, and it just is. I was fine with that. I didn't really need to see the Dark One having been a normal human. Like, I'm sorry, are you trying to make me feel sympathetic towards the Dark One? Because she's Dracula, so no, don't to me, right? Like, why does every villain lately have to have a sympathetic backstory? Screw you, writers. Just give us evil. So I didn't really need to see that. I'm not down with this time travel either. So I also thought, okay, this is what we saw before where Vanessa went back in time, but she really was living through her aunt. She didn't really go back in time, right? It was like her consciousness was in her ancestor's body, and it was for a purpose of her learning something, really, is why she did that. But now,
if that's the case, they would have explained. Because, I mean, she's going back because Vanessa's like, fine, I forget what she whispered to her, but essentially she hears in her head at the beginning something like to go back and kill the Dark One, and she assumes that means she needs to kill her before she turns. But
And I, you know, I'm not okay with a straight-up time travel storyline. I'm not. Like,
right. I think it
really
makes more sense the other way. They just need to explain it.
I think
it.
They introduced time travel in the last season of a story that's not ever been about that is not a good move. I think, you know, it bothers me that we don't have any rules. Like, we always say that rule. You know why the new showrunner is from Continuum. That's why we have time travel, I guess.
True.
They hired a guy from Continuum. I think they could do it better. I'm like, what are the rules for this time travel? And then we get into, like, the same old story, like, she's going to kill the Dark One before she becomes... This is like, kill Hitler while he's a baby. That's basically the story that we saw this week, right? Like, let's kill Hitler before he becomes Hitler. Let's kill Olivia before she's the Dark One. I'm like, really? Are we watching this? Are we watching... Like, you know it's not going to go right. I think Kim Coates, Count Dalibor, is going to... Maybe he'll become the Dark One. There's going to be a Dark One. There's no way Jack kills her, and then there's no vampire apocalypse in the future. Come on. We know we're not watching the show.
Well, yeah, we know whatever happens, it's not going to work. I mean, otherwise we wouldn't have a whole season left. I don't think that's a spoiler to say that.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm going to stop ranting about it. I don't like it. I don't like this time travel thing.
Well, and that's going to say, I don't mind... If it's like the before and she's in like her ancestor, then I don't mind it so much because they've done it before.
Yes,
I just wish that they would say that, because I actually had to go back before I was putting up the interview, which people can watch the video interview. I had had to go back and rewatch the end of last season before I even put it up, because I was trying to write what had happened at the end of the last season. And all I kept remembering was that Jack was in a coffin, and I'm like, I'm confused how she got from a coffin to here. And I'm still confused. And that's not good.
Yeah.
So I feel like they need to explain that. That being said, this show has a lot of, and not necessarily in a bad way or good way, but just in general, this show has a lot of crazy. I know that last year, there's a lot going on, and I think that you didn't like some of what they did last year. And that being said, I liked that the storyline was more, I don't want to say muted. That's not exactly what I mean. But it wasn't, like, about the evil and you know, last year we had a lot of that, like with still, you can't think of his character's name, but Chris
Sam
hired out his character. Yeah.
Oh,
and like with her transferring bodies and all that. And there was just like some really like the mythology got a little bit out there. So I like that this was a little more of a human story, I guess I'd say, because there isn't as much as, and granted, this is a vampire story. It's not like we're not going to get the vampire stuff, but I like this storyline better the way it's going. And I like that it's more about the characters right now. I also think the part that I thought was interesting is how the characters are different back then, like how we have Bathory, who's not become dark yet, which technically I guess is the same as Dracula, but I don't know, like the fact that she was good and isn't who we thought she was. I think that was interesting, finding out more about her character. But, you know, obviously that's not true of all of them, since Michaela's still Michaela.
It does bother me that now it's coming down. So if Bathory at this point is just like sort of a fortune teller and a, you know, person running around the woods or whatever, and Olivia is just like a lady of wealth living in a castle, then it's Michaela who's actually the Michaela was like the most boring of all the evil people last year. Michaela was kind of the most boring and had the least to do, right? Like, she was sort of like second fiddle to Bathory all of last season. And so for Michaela to be
the she was always
put it all,
pissed about that, too. I think that's why she
was,
wanted to be, you know, Dracula's number one, which is a little...
But
nuts,
she
but.
Was. Storyline-wise and in the eyes of the viewers, I think she was always sort of a B character to Bathory. And now to find out that
I feel like that's only because Bathory was totally batshit.
But she was. What did she really do? I mean, Bathory had scene after scene after scene after scene and and she's the one who turned Sam into like this thing that she like from when he was a child and like Bathory.
I'm just remembering like when Michaela I think was the one that tortured Jack, wasn't she?
Well, for
it's
like
been a while.
5 minutes in one episode.
That's
like, you know,
that's true.
I mean,
you're right.
I mean, in terms of screen time and actual things that you did, like Bathory was a way more major character. So now to find out that she's, and I don't want to belabor this too much, but I feel like really now Michaela's the main person. Like do I care about Michaela? I couldn't remember her name at first. So there was that. But I agree with you. I appreciate that it was like two humans trying to kill a human, which have we, when was the last time we saw that on this show, right? This episode was like, Jack and that guy whose name I forget trying to kill Olivia or not. I have to say, I am not down with like Jack being the main, Nicole Munoz, and we have followed her career since Defiance. And I think she has really become a stronger actress every year. And I do like her. I want to see Kelly Overton on this show. I know last year she was pregnant, and that's why she was not in that much. I don't know why she's not in it now. Is this a new season, or is this the mid-season premiere? Like, why
no,
is Kelly Overton?
No, this is the new season, the final season. I have no idea
why
she's not in
it. Kelly Overton is like, let me off this crap show. I don't think that was even her voice. I don't, like, when Jack's in the coffin and she gets out, and I don't think that was Kelly Overton's voice.
It didn't sound like it. Because you know what? When I heard it the first time, I was watching the screener, and I figured they'd just ADR it later. And then when I heard it when I was watching, I'm like, that's the same voice. And then I forgot all about it. So you mentioned it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I really like Jack's character and everything, and I want to know what's going on with that. But I feel like they should have at least started the story out with Vanessa because she's the main was the main character. And they've kind of gotten rid of her for a while. Why she's not in there, I don't know. I know she's coming back. I don't know exactly when. I just know she is because I'm trying to set up an interview, but I haven't seen it yet. But, I'm not sure why they did it the way they did. I do know that this, and this is what I said, these, I want to say three episodes. I don't know why my mind's blanking. But the first set of episodes is, like, kind of encapsulated. Like I said, it's like its own sort of story. So we will get to see some of the other characters and what's going on then. They're just doing these episodes and those episodes. I don't know if it's going to be like that all season or not. But that also, could, for all we know, could also be a COVID thing, too. I mean, I know that Van Helsing was one of the first shows that, like, started filming again in Canada. Well, no, this part isn't in Canada, but one of the first ones. So it's possible that's why they have groups of people just like they do in Fear. I don't know. But this is the final season, so, I mean, regardless, we're going to get a lot of mythology, and I'm sure it's going to circle back around at some point. But, yeah, I agree. I like Jack, but I would like to know about Vanessa. Although I am surprised because they put Jack in it that they don't have Violet. Like, we don't even know what's going on with her.
And we won't
so,
for
yeah,
a while,
I don't know.
I
haven't gotten to that point. I haven't gotten to that point yet either. So,
well, and so one more question before. So I was wondering a lot in this episode. So I presume, I think we don't just presume, Jack presumes that it was Vanessa who sent Jack back in time, either to have an experience to learn something, as we hope it is, or to actually time travel, right? So if it's real
do we
time
know
travel.
Why? Not to me. I don't think we do, but go ahead.
One thing that bothers me about if it's actual time travel, like if Vanessa could make Jack time travel, why doesn't Vanessa just time travel herself and go back and kill this person?
Well, I think
like, to me,
Vanessa's
that,
stuck in the dark realm.
Jack was in the dark realm also.
That confuses me, too. That was what I was going to say. I'm not sure if Jack's in a coffin in the dark realm or Jack's in a coffin in the real world. I'm still confused by that. And that's why I said if it's just her back in somebody else's mind or whatever, that totally doesn't bother me because they've done it.
Yeah.
But I wish they would say that because, like I said, even after having watched the first three episodes or whatever – I still went back and watched the finale because I felt like I missed something.
Yeah.
And it's just no, she's in the coffin. Yeah.
And so the way
sorry, go ahead. This is about
As I understand the finale, the Dark One trapped Jack in the Dark World, the Dark Realm, and the Dark World, I think it's Thor, in the Dark Realm. And that is why, at the end of last season, the Dark One was able to assume Jack's likeness in our world. Because I think somehow by having Jack trapped, she's able to appear as Jack. I think Jack was actually in the Dark Realm in that coffin because we'd seen the Dark One in that coffin earlier in the season.
I just wish they'd say something about it.
If it's time travel, why doesn't Vanessa just time travel? She's a better fighter.
Yeah.
Right?
No, you're right. You're right.
It's a lesson. Maybe Jack has misunderstood it. Maybe Jack thinks she was sent to time travel, but she's actually in someone else's body Like if she
yeah,
looks
she
in a mirror, maybe that will resolve it.
That's a good
yeah.
point.
Yeah.
Oh, that's true. Before, when Vanessa looked in the mirror, she saw the other lady, huh?
Mm-hmm.
I don't even think they've had that. I never even thought
no,
about that. I don't know if we've seen a mirror or not, but because that could be interesting if that happens. But I was just going to say, and I don't know, sometimes it's hard for me, is it just because it's been so long since I've had seen the finale? When I rewatched part of the finale, I think that when I first saw it, because I know I saw screeners, and I know they were, like, way from finished, I had thought at first that the Dark One was controlling Jack. And I realized
mm-hmm.
that, at least from what I remember, I think part of it was that when you watch the show, they show that it's really the Dark One, but they see her. But, like, I think in the screener, because they didn't have the effects, like, it was just all the same actress. Like, you didn't
mm-hmm.
– I don't know. At least I think that's why I was confused from what I'm remembering. I think it was, like, Nicole the whole time, at least from what I remember. So I don't know. I was confused going into it, but I did – like I said, I did rewatch the end, and yeah, now I get that she just looked like her. I don't know if they have to be in the Dark Realm or dead or what. I mean, she looks like the president now, but she killed her, so. Or at least that's what I think happened at the end of the show. Yeah, because she looks like, that's right, because she looks like the president. She did at the end of it.
Yeah, and
but
the president's
back
not in the Dark Realm.
It.
Yeah.
No, but I mean, I assume she killed the president.
Yeah,
yeah.
She killed her,
I can't remember her actually killing her, but yeah,
and she didn't take
know.
Over the president's body. I think she's glamour, like, Vampire King
yeah,
glamour.
That's what I'm saying. I don't think they showed. I think when I watched it, I don't think they actually showed it was Trisha, but I like because I
yeah.
saw the cut. But I could be wrong, and I'm just misremembering. But I know at first I thought she took over their body, but then I realized after no, obviously Jack coughs, which she can't have.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just a little confusing. But
yeah,
we'll have
All
to
right.
see. I'll be talking to Nicole soon and find yep. out.
All right, yeah, find out. I can't wait till you talk to Nicole. That's going to be great. Maybe she can explain some things that we can't understand.
Yeah, maybe, hopefully. Hopefully. But for now, like I said, that interview with Nicole, Trisha, and Jonathan is up that people can watch. Now, granted, you haven't seen anything with his character yet, but that will be coming.
Is it,
so.
Is it spoilerific? No, you wouldn't have it up if it was spoilery.
No, it's not. I'm trying to think exactly
right,
what they said, but I don't think any of it was really spoilery. But no,
right,
it
cool.
was before the premiere. It was put up before the premiere. So, all right. Well, I guess
okay.
that's about it for Van Helsing.
All right. We've
so
been
why
talking
don't we
a
move
lot.
On
let's,
to...
Let's get AJ in here, yeah.
If AJ's still there, if he's awake. AJ!
Here I am. It takes
no.
Oh,
I know.
It takes me a second to unmute it.
No,
I know.
I know. So, do you want to talk about Manifest, Debris, or Big Sky?
First, let's do Debris because we
okay.
need to a show that we can talk about quick. Since Big Sky is two episodes. You know, we're just time
yeah.
constraints.
I think
we should talk about the show that.
Agree about Debris though, but go ahead.
Could take 5 seconds. Jesus, it's just so bad. Like, I don't understand anything. All right, let's see. I want to just go wrap up the episode. Okay. Maddox wants Brian to kill Daddy. Vanilla's supposed to kidnap Daddy. My thing was, immediately, as soon as they tell each other the truth, I'm thinking, okay, so you fake his death. You know, which is ironic considering he was already dead and brought back to life, but you fake his death, you tell both your bosses he died in the crossfire while you were trying to rescue him. There you go. And then you hide him somewhere. I'm sure Brian has some friend somewhere that has a cabin in the woods they can stick him in for a while.
Guessing though he would expect
they didn't
a
do
body,
that.
But yeah.
But they didn't do any of that. He
yeah.
told Maddox that he was dead. But then Fenella's like, I know how to play this. And then she tells her boss, Ferris, she tells her, she goes, yeah, the entire truth, not even, didn't twist anything, didn't make it, no. She just got very stern and said, this is what's going to happen now. And I'm like, what are you playing? You're telling her the truth. How is telling her the truth playing it? Like, I don't understand. It just doesn't. I mean, obviously, we haven't seen how her plan's going to work yet by telling the truth. But nothing happened in this episode. They saved Daddy. That was it. That was it. We had 42 minutes that could have been done in 5. Next.
Okay, let me talk now. I totally disagree with most of what you're saying. You've complained the whole time you didn't get any mythology, and then you have a whole episode of mythology, and you don't like what they did, which you're allowed
to
have to agree with it. But I think there was a lot that happened. I mean, well, first of all, the thing about the experiments is obviously new, and I think really interesting. The fact that they're putting the debris in people, although giving it to people that you're torturing and giving them the power to control it themselves, I'm not sure is the smartest idea. But I like that whole thing with the experiments and with that going on. Although I do have to say, I was surprised because I thought it was going to end up that her father was like on purpose working for them, that it was going to end up he was bad. So I was surprised about that. But we also have the thing with the influx agent who seems to be against Ferris that told her before not to trust her. I'm, like, really interested in that storyline because we don't know if he's human. We don't know what's going on. I mean, I think you're supposed to obviously – and I can't – Sebastian Roche, however you say his name. Obviously, you're supposed to think he's bad, but I don't necessarily see any indication that he is because the only thing we saw him do was take skin from a body that looked exactly like him. And I think maybe that's like a misdirection because the guy was not in pain. He was awake, but yet he wasn't in pain. You could tell
he's
he had like
using
different
debris.
Pieces of his skin
removed.
It's
his clone.
Well, it's
clone. Right, and that's what I was going to say.
Clone situation.
Yeah, likely, and that's what I was going to say. So it's most likely that, well, but still, the other ones were like able to be hurt and that and yelled and stuff. This guy's just laying there calmly, and you could tell he removed different parts of his skin that regrew. But anyway, my point is that it's probably his own body he's taking it from, so I don't think that necessarily just because he's doing that makes him bad or means that he replaced somebody or anything like that. I feel like they want you to think it's more than it is. Then we find out, obviously, that the whole reason that they want the father is because he can find whatever this piece of debris is, and obviously they both want him. Although I'm kind of confused why Maddox, if he is so important, I mean, I get he doesn't want MI6 to have him, but I would think that he would try to get Brian to bring him back to the U.S. rather than try to kill him altogether, but that is, I mean, we don't really know about Maddox. But for him to ask Brian to kill somebody, I think is too much, and I'm glad that, you know, he didn't agree to do it and that he helped Fanola. But I don't know. I mean, the only thing I can say that I was genuinely disappointed about is the fact that the big reveal is that somehow by using something through his eye, they brought him back to life. I thought it was going to be more than they reanimated him. I mean, I know, you know, it's their story, but that's really the part that I was kind of like, I expected it something weirder than just they brought him back to life. But I still think it was good, and I'm glad she finally found out from her sister that, you know, she knew something was going on. And as to why she told her boss the truth, I mean, she needed the file. She didn't say where they were. I'm sure there probably could have been better ways to do that, especially because I thought Brian was going to some other person to get the file. So I'm not sure if she didn't know he did that or if that was part of the plan. But I guess we'll have to find out about the rest of the plan. And why he sleeps under foil, I have no idea. That's weird. But so that's what I have to say. I liked it. What about you, Karen? It did have fun. I'm not saying it didn't, but
I found this episode very frustrating. I kind of agree with AJ that nothing really happened because while they did find George, which arguably is a huge thing, in fact, every single part of that story was unexplained. So first of all, can I just talk about how ridiculous it is that they're going to send Fanola in on a mission to save her father where, like, and someone else has ordered, like, why would either Ferris or Maddox send Brian and Fanola, right? Like, so
yep.
Maddox
that
knows.
That part is very true.
Maddox knows that Brian is partners and has some loyalty to Fanola. Like, why would you send these two? Maddox, if you want George dead, just send your own strike team to take him out. Like, why send these two? Just have them killed. Like, come on, Maddox. I also thought this episode really underscored the weakness in the Maddox and Brian storyline. Like, Fanola actually says to him, I know it's hard for you to go against Maddox. He's your mentor. And I'm like, really? Because we know nothing about – all we know is that Brian is loyal to Maddox because he helped him somehow in the past, and we know nothing about it. And I think in episode 8, when this happens and Brian has to go on this mission, it is long past time that we need to understand more about why Brian is so loyal to a dick like Maddox. It just makes no sense to me whatsoever why Brian is so loyal to him, to the point of like agreeing to like assassinate his partner's father, right? I mean, yes, he went against him, but so that part of the mythology is not out there. We really know nothing about Influx or what they're doing. I cannot believe the number of times this like press has made who plays Anton Ash, Scroobius Pip, right? They've made him available for interviews so many times. And he said
they've done
like,
it twice. You keep bringing this up every week. I think it's funny. No, you're
right.
Right,
but not just to you.
Twice,
not
but...
just to you. Like multiple outlets.
Oh, is he
have been
still
invited.
Doing interviews?
Like,
right.
But every time
like two.
Like, yeah, but probably ten outlets did a story on those two. That's like 40 stories.
Right. But I mean, there
right?
was only two interviews though. They're all the same interview, is what I meant, or part of it.
He does nothing and says nothing on the show. He's like an extra. I mean, I guess maybe he'll become huge down the road, but. I just feel like Influx is this big thing that we know nothing about, and I feel like by episode 8 we should have an idea about some of our villains. Like we know, like our villains are all sort of like non-people. So that bothered me, and it bothered me that how convenient is it that Finola's father forgot everything? Like that's the worst.
Yeah,
we don't know who the villains are. Influx is supposed to be the villains, but I don't trust Ferris or Maddox either, so who's to say they aren't the villains?
Everyone's bad, yeah. No, Influx could be good, right?
Yeah.
Except that the fact that they don't have all these people that they're experimenting on, so that's pretty shitty.
Well,
but,
yeah, there is that.
there's that.
I felt like the father... So I don't like the part where he was literally brought back to life by a piece of debris. That also really bothers me.
You had to see that coming.
He was dead. Yes, I did, but it still sucks. Like, he was literally brought back to life by debris, but it can only happen once. That's very convenient. And how do they know that? Do they reanimate you and then be like, let me shoot you to see if I can do it again? I guess maybe that's what they did.
No, they probably They probably experimented on somebody that didn't matter.
Mm-hmm. But still, and then he had, very conveniently, he has amnesia, but it's very selective. Like, he already says, like, I forget something, thought everything else. And he's like, I can't remember what this machine does that I was building. But by the way, here's a list of supplies I need to rebuild it, because I totally remember that.
That's why I kind of wondered if machine does. Was purposely in on it. But I'm not sure at this point. I'm not sure that makes sense, but it would maybe make more sense. I don't know.
Yeah.
In the end.
Well, honestly, I got the feeling he's full of shit on a lot of stuff, because I think he knows exactly why Maddox wants him dead. He knows something that Maddox doesn't want anybody else to know.
Well, you know, AJ, I think I'm inclined to agree with that statement, because, I mean, we've also seen that he was kind of a bad father. Like up to this point, Finola's been pretty broken up about losing her father and wanting to get him back. And then in this episode, she's like, you always worked and didn't have any time for us, right? She's like, I wish there was room for me in your work. And I'm like, so actually she's really resentful about your work, and she doesn't worship you like the whole show has been telling us all this time.
Yeah.
I mean, she does worship him, but you know what I mean. Like, there, you know, we find all this.
She has daddy issues.
Yeah, like every good show, they have daddy issues, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he died.
I'm just thinking about that, though, and I don't know, but the thing that I thought they should have done, and I guess this is just the way I feel about it, but I feel like she should have had him talk to her sister. Like, I don't know. I would have liked to have seen that.
Well, except that I would.
Because I just feel like he's probably
kind of the same way.
In the end.
The sister? Yeah, I think you're right.
No, I mean, I think he's going to die. I think whatever happens,
the father.
I think probably he's going to die for real before she sees him. And I just think about, like, she got a chance to see her father and say goodbye. Well, not say goodbye, but say hello again. And, like, if he does die and she never even got to, like, know he was alive, like, that would just be really shitty. I don't know. I just feel like they're going to do that. So.
Well, I also think that Finola doesn't want those two to connect at the moment. One, because she's hiding out at her friend's house because of, you know, trying to use her to get to Finola. And also, Pat doesn't want Daddy to know that his daughter's a junkie.
Yeah. And right. Also, junkies are unreliable, right?
Yeah.
Like, she can't really trust her.
It might not be. Who knows? We don't know what her plan is yet. You know, she knows how to play it by telling the truth.
Yeah. I mean, the sister was pretty smart that she's spoken the secret code from their childhood. The sister's not as much of a dummy as, like, Finola treats her, right?
Right.
So one problem I had with this episode, really, was, okay, not with this episode, but with this show in general, is that this week we see Finola and Brian, like, finally sort of on the same side, right? And they sort of agree that they've got to save the father. And they've chosen sides, and the side is themselves, right? Like they're gonna, not articulating as well, but they're gonna partner up and do what they think is right. And anyway, I feel like that was an important move in this episode, but I also feel like I have not for 8 episodes seen any rapport between them. That like when Finola gets in the car and she says, by the way, this and this about my dad, and Brian says, by the way, I'm supposed to kill him, and they both are talking, that's great, that's a great Scully and Mulder kind of thing, and yet I have seen nothing in the last 8 episodes that makes me think they trust or rely on each other. They still, as AJ, I'm going to steal AJ's line, Brian still looks like he wants to be anyplace else. Right? Like,
yeah.
So I'm glad to see that, and it'll be easier for me to watch a show where my main characters are a team and not suspicious. And on the other hand, I just haven't seen anything on the screen to make me believe that they trust each other enough to act this way. I don't know. I just feel like this is taking too long and we need more to make us really
engaged. I don't think
engaged.
We should be eight episodes in before this happens. Well, I will agree with that. I think they spent way too much time on the Monster of the Week episodes, Alien of the Week, whatever the heck you want to call it, Debris of the Week.
Debris of the Week, yeah.
I do definitely think that.
I mean, another frustrating thing that, like, we encounter a piece of debris early on in the episode. Nothing ever happens or goes. I mean, they dispense with the debris of the week in the first 10 minutes this week, right? Like, they find this woman, and they're like, whatever, go with these guys. They'll take care of you. No one ever questions them.
Yeah. I was just gonna say,
and then we find out that there's... Yeah.
Sorry. Go ahead. Finish what you're saying, then I'll tell you.
Okay, and then we find out that there's, like, a god piece. There's this one, like, overarching, incredible piece of debris that if you can find it, it will, like, change everything. And they're like, what does it do? Oh, I don't know. I have amnesia. Are you, like, you fucking kidding me?
Was that
in, like,
fear? Is that the thing, that circle of light or whatever that they've talked about, is that maybe the piece that's supposed to be fine tracking it? I don't, not that it matters. I just was curious. But the thing that I found kind of weird about that, though, excuse me, is that they said, oh, she can be invisible because she can vibrate molecules or whatever, and you can't see her. She wasn't just invisible. She could, like, phase out and pass through solid objects. Nobody mentioned that because she killed that guy because she went right through. And I'm like, they're not going to – I mean, obviously they didn't see that, but I thought maybe it was going to be, like, the way the trees were down or something. Maybe she was running through the trees or – I don't know. It's just they just kind of, like, blanked and didn't ever mention that again. So that irritated me, I mean, there were definitely problems with it, and I agree. Him forgetting things is really dumb, which is why I said I still kind of feel like, in a way, it would make more sense if he was part of it. I don't think he is, just the way it went, but I had definitely thought that at the beginning of the episode. But all in all, I still enjoyed it, and I think it was nice that it wasn't just a debris of the week, even if it wasn't necessarily the best script.
Did you think that – did you guys, both of you, think that – let me – throw it to AJ just because he's been quiet for a minute. Was it me, or were Finola and Brian, like, strangely not that interested in the glowing ball, which they had just 2 minutes ago had a woman be like, I can't tell you about the glowing ball. And then they see one and don't even react.
You know, yes, I am so glad you brought that up because I forgot to mention that. I was so annoyed with that. She's, you know, that chick says, I don't know where the glowing ball is. And she's like, oh, my God, Brian, that guy said that to me. How is this connected? Oh, my God. I look. There's your glowing ball. And neither one of them said a word. So, again, this episode gave me nothing. I've been asking for mythology. I got mythology, and I got nothing.
Not
it didn't give me anything.
Device.
It gave me zero information.
Whether it is or not. Yeah.
It gave zero information. sit there and say, oh, we, you got this and this and this, and but you got nothing. It's all obscured,
but nothing,
and maybe next episode clears up some stuff, but it was such a weak episode. It was really, really weak. Like, there was nothing
ooh. I'm really interested in Sebastian Roche or Roche, or however you say his character, but thinking about it after I say that, that's not a good thing. I shouldn't be interested in him. He's not the main part of the story. Like, I'm only saying that was cool.
Yeah, well.
That's not really, yeah. I don't know. I liked it more than you guys did, but I do know that there was a lot of issues. You're right. We didn't get anything. I shouldn't say we got stuff. We didn't get anything substantial, but things happened. They weren't just necessarily the things we needed to see happen or that we wanted to know.
Yeah. I think that by giving us one little thing, they felt like they were able to, like, skate on the rest of the stuff. Like, they're like, oh, the father's alive, and we see him, but we knew that already. We see the father, and then they kind of, like, don't really give us much in the other stuff, and they're sort of, like, letting some other things, not work out well. Like, I need the relationship between Brian and Fanola to improve so I can invest in them as characters, because that's what's going to make me watch this, because the mystery is not doing it for me. I need my main characters to be a team I can root for, and they're just not there yet.
Do we know how this is doing rating-wise?
I haven't looked it up, no.
Okay, I was just curious, because...
Is this on NBC?
Yeah, it's on NBC. Why do I keep feeling like it's on Fox? I keep wanting to say Fox, I think because of Fringe.
All right, I'm looking it up right now while we... Talk for a second. Let me have TV button.
Okay,
well,
I'm getting something while I'm talking to you guys, so just ignore my noises. My phone is as AJ says, so person is loud.
Weekly numbers. Let me see if I can find debris real quick. This is week 30.
It was episode 8, I think.
Let's see where we are. Now, this is week 30 of the season.
I was going to say, though, more people might have watched this episode, though, because they expected they were going to get something, too. So that could potentially be false viewer information, if that makes sense.
Well, I'm sorting these numbers, and so, of course, you think like American Idol and are, like, way, way at the top, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, by the way, the Equalizer already got renewed. That's another thing I watch.
CBS, they renew everything.
The Equalizer. They do. They renew everything. Debris, I can't even really see it on the – I don't know where that is. I mean, I think it probably is not – oh, here it is. Show number 100 this week. It drew a 0.41 this week. I mean, I think this kind of show is not going to be – like, it's not going to compare to, like, a CBS show or, like, a CSI.
No, I was just curious if it'll renew or not. But if it's that far down, it's kind of hard to tell.
Yeah. I'm not really sure where – and I'm looking up TV Line to see what they say because they always have good numbers. But I don't know.
I don't know how to tell.
Yeah, I think it's probably. You know what? Let's look it up for next week, and we'll talk about it. I think it's probably not great because this kind of high concept show is always a tough sell, and this is not as
accessible. It's not really an NBC show either. But I feel like at the same time they tried to make it an NBC show, which is part of the problem. Does that make sense when I say that?
Like, they try to make it suck more because it's on NBC?
I don't know if they'd suck more. But no, but I just mean, like, you know, Fox shows are a little more edgy, and even, like, ABC, they have a lot of these kind of sci-fi shows. NBC does not. NBC got Manifest, and it did good, so they're trying something else. And I just feel like maybe if it was on Fox, it would have been better. And maybe that's stupid to say, but the way I feel is it could have been a little darker. I think this show needed a little darkness. It's too much hope and... like you said, emotions, everything, it sometimes gets a little.
Yeah. All right. So I think we're the three of us are all over the place on this show, but agree that it's not giving us quite yet what we need.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Moving on.
All right. Okay.
You guys want to do Big Sky or the other one?
Oh, we can do Big Sky. That's fine.
Let's do Big Sky.
Okay, I have to say first, because I've been waiting to say it, because I'm so pissed about this. This is the one thing that was the first thing I was yelling about through the whole episode. Okay, Ronald is dating this girl that he meets at the gas station, and it's 3 months later, and I don't care how he meets her. This girl is obviously a teenager. There is no way that he passes for a teenager. And more than that, there is no way that her adult, like very much adult sister, thinks he's a teenager. It would be, like, so creepy. I mean, not that necessarily it would be bad she's dating somebody older, but they're obviously trying to cast it off as him being a teenager, and I'm just like, dude, there's no way. That is so stupid. And that was what irritated me more than anything about this. That is horrible.
She could be 18.
But
18 is legal.
Huh?
I said 18
is
legal.
No, I know.
Legal.
I mean, they're trying to,
like, 8 years old.
But they're trying to make him, I feel like they're trying to make it like he's a teenager dating her. I don't know. That's how I felt. I felt like they were trying to pass him off as being her age, the way they did it, and it's just not.
No, I didn't feel that way.
You didn't feel that way?
Yeah, that's a good.
Because I was
that's a good point, Karen.
Like, he's way,
I didn't
way
think
older
about that.
That
kid is like 8. So even if, so, I mean, she's in her 20s. That girl.
Really? Okay. Well, then maybe she just
her
looks
kid
a lot
like,
younger
her
than
kid
I thought.
Like 8 years
she
old.
Was a kid.
Her kid is like 8 years old.
Okay, I totally missed something because I thought that was her sister. So that makes more sense.
She has a kid.
I honestly thought that was her sister. I somewhere along the way missed that. So I apologize. That makes more sense. Yeah, she's got to be older then. Okay, that feels a little less creepy now. But his wig's still horrible.
What bothers me
about
that
obviously nuts because she doesn't care that he has like a I'm going to call it a zapper. That's not what it's called, but you know what I mean. A
taser.
So I call it a catapult.
Taser.
A taser, yeah.
I mean, what's the issues with that whole relationship? I mean, AJ, how'd you feel about that relationship?
It makes perfect sense to me, actually.
I mean,
she is clearly it makes sense because she's clearly a religious person, so she's pure. So Ronald's not going to kidnap her and send her off to, you know, Connecticut or Canada or wherever the hell they were going. So
yeah, Connecticut or Canada. Yeah, Canada. It was Canada. Yeah, I mean, I felt like he's so obviously a creeper wearing a bad wig that I didn't understand at all why this girl would like when he was looking at her in the gas station and she obviously kind of liked it and was like, oh, he's cute and all flirty. I was like, he's clearly a killer in a bad wig. What are you talking about? He's just so creepy and obviously creepy. Like. He's not the kind of like a Ted Bundy type of sociopath who's really charming and people fall into it, right? No, Ted Bundy was known as a very charming guy. That's how he got all those girls to like, right? And so I didn't really understand. Then we see that this girl has a little bit of a more interesting part to her where she's maybe got a little bit of a interest in like, okay, I don't want to call it a kink because I don't want, like, the kink community to, like, call me out on whatever that is. But she's got a little bit of a thing where she finds this
exciting
taser. And, she's interested in that her boyfriend is not as white bread as she thought he was, and he's got a little bit of a interesting thing about him. And guess what? She likes to steal things and, like,
I know. She's like, I'm a klepto, though.
She's
not as innocent as it seemed.
Right, and it's a very low-level kind of a thing. Like, so you shoplift a couple things, big deal. She's not out there human trafficking and killing people, Ronald. And yet I feel like Ronald is judging her. Like, I think she's going to get killed because Ronald, like, is going to be like, oh, you like to steal stuff, and you want to, like, play with my taser, and you want to, like, you know, role play? I got to kill you now, right? I think she's going to be... I'm a little disappointed with the way Ronald is more and more, like, through last season and now into this season, he's more and more portrayed as just a completely out-of-his-mind, insane person, right? I mean, in the early part of the show, he was always a little weird and off, but he was smart and able to pass as normal and didn't make mistakes. And now he's like, mm-hmm. he really goes home and sleeps on his mother's grave and, like, pats the dirt? Like, what? Come on. Like, he's going to be caught. The fact that these people can't catch him in 5 seconds really says more about how crappy they are.
Yeah, I know. He knew he was there.
Like, right?
They already
like
have proof he's bad. Why didn't he go pick him up? That was stupid, too.
If you set up a camera on his mother's grave, why were you not prepared to catch him when he showed up
yeah.
there?
Yeah. Right? I mean, it's not
What's
like he kidnapped somebody else that they're, like, trying to find him. I mean, I guess they're trying to get him to lead him to the trafficking ring, but still, it just seems so dumb.
Let me ask
you
guys about his
flashbacks. I guess they got to stretch it out for this season.
So, you know, he had some flashbacks in this episode. What do you make of them? Is that fantasy that he'd like to do it again, or is that guilt that he did it at all in the first place?
Remind me of the flashbacks.
What
they were.
He flashed back to catching the girls in the car and, like, hitting them with the
keys. Oh, that's right, okay.
First, like, ran them off the road.
I think he misses it. I think the fact that the truck set off the flashback, I think he misses it.
Maybe. I kind of thought that was just like a way to remind people, since this is the mid-season premiere, what happened last. I more took that as
a little
recap.
You could be right, Jamie.
That's why I didn't think all that
you
much about
right.
it.
I thought maybe he's just getting more and more off the rails now. He's just going more and more crazy.
Yeah.
I don't know. As much as all of that was kind of not great storyline, I wish it was more of the show. Like, we have this whole new case, and I get it. We got to have a new case on the show. In order for it to be a show, it's got to change and new things have to happen. But I felt like the new story was much, much worse than the Ronald story. And I wanted to see more of that.
Well,
I did really like...
I have a quick question.
I was just gonna,
AJ.
Okay.
AJ, go.
No, Jamie, go
question.
First.
Ask your question. All right. Jamie.
Jamie,
oh, me go. I thought you said, I didn't know what you said. Okay, what I was going to, sorry, I didn't realize you said Jamie. What I was just going to say is what irritates me, not even just that they have another case, but that this is something that obviously she already knew this guy, and yet we have no background on that. And I don't know, like, it would have been better if it was a fresh case rather than it's like this guy that she dated that she already knows so much about, because it just feels like we were dropped in the middle of it, and I don't know. That whole part wasn't great. I didn't mind the stuff at the beginning with the guy selling horse sperm, but although that was odd. Sorry, go ahead, AJ.
Before we get into that, one last thing about Ronald, because this really confused me, and I think it's the way it was filmed or shot, but did Ronald, like, is he close to where the heck are they? What town are they in? Whatever town the girls are in.
Helena. They're from Helena.
When he pulled up against that town, I wasn't sure where that was supposed to be, if we were supposed to recognize it. Is that what you're talking about?
Yes.
Because I felt like
the way the scene was shot, it looked like he was watching them. And I actually went back and watched it again, and I still wasn't sure after, like, rewinding it a little and looking. And what was
Yeah, I thought it was
just
either
agency,
but I couldn't remember what the outside looked like. So, yeah, I definitely got confused by that.
Where?
Yeah.
The place that he went
Ronald,
for the cake?
Jenny. You see Jenny through a window, and then the next
shot shows
is Ronald sitting in his car intently looking at something. And the way the scene played, it looks like he's watching Jenny. And I'm like, is this fucking idiot really gone back to, like, keep an eye, you know, to, like, spy on them? Like, and then I was like, no, that couldn't be what just happened. So I rewound
it. He went to his mother's grave, so he has to be somewhere
nearby. That's true.
So dumb. They need to just pick him up. They have no reason not to pick him up.
I watched it again, and I still wasn't sure if I was seeing it right. Like, I couldn't tell if they, like, just imposed, like it was just, like, a transgression from the one scene to the other. I really wasn't sure, and I was curious how you guys felt. And clearly, you guys aren't sure either.
No. And I cannot believe, so to Jamie's point, he's close enough that he can go to sleep on his mother's grave and then show up at, like, work the next day or whatever. I don't know that, but it's not that far. And then also when he was, like, having the birthday cake and talking off screen, I was waiting.
Yeah, who is that?
I assumed going to see his mother's dead body there. Really, I thought he was going to like have a dead body. That
but
he
I'm
was
like they took the body.
Mom.
You know what's funny?
I assumed it was his mother's birthday.
Artie thought the same thing. Artie goes, does he have his mother's body in there? And I was like, the cops have her body. He's like, oh yeah.
I know, but was he just fantasizing that he was talking to his mother? Like that was so bizarre. And he was in
he kidnapped somebody else. That's the only thing I can think.
But he was also in
this
weird barn or closet or something. Like I felt like he had gone back to the scene of the crime for that, right? It felt like he'd gone to Ronald early on in the show was kind of smart and able to there's no reason why he should not be in Mexico right now. Canada or why is he hanging around Montana? And to the point where his girlfriend's he's close enough to home that his girlfriend's sister says, God, he looks so familiar because she saw his face on the local paper and CNN or whatever, right?
That would have been on nationally too, but yeah.
It would, but yeah. So all that, and yet somehow to me that's the more interesting part of the show because this whole new business with Horst and his family, what are they called? The Klein Sassers are, that whole part of the show to me was so much worse. That was so. So I read
some
a comment.
I
just felt like that whole family was just like one cartoon character after the next. Every single person in this episode was like, it's like they went to some small town in an alternate universe that's like cliche town.
And it's also obvious that the younger brother did it, and they're blaming that brother. I mean, that's what's so stupid, too.
You know what caught me was, other than the oldest brother, I knew everybody in that family, the actors.
Yes, every single actor is somebody.
Yeah,
because
every single actor has been. Yeah.
Yeah.
The father, the mother is Michelle Forbes. Every single brother, Sebastian Roche is in it. Every single
the brother
person.
I knew
Sebastian Roche is the sheriff.
He was the middle one.
He's the sheriff. Yes, Sebastian is the sheriff.
Mm-hmm.
And he's showing up in everything, isn't he? He's in both.
He's in every show that we watch. He's in every show that AJ and I have ever watched from General Hospital until now.
Ted Levine.
Sebastian Roche.
He's becoming
the new Roger Cross.
Roger Cross.
The new.
He is.
Yeah.
He's the new Roger Cross.
Except he's not in Canada.
The guy who plays the father. What's the name of the guy who plays the father?
Ted Levine.
Ted Levine, who was Buffalo Bill in Silence of the Lambs.
Yep.
That I didn't know.
Which is why we know him. Yeah. Yep.
Plus he's been in a million other things.
Well, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I thought this whole family was so ridiculous. I hated one of them more than the next. I know they're supposed to be unattractive, but every family that you can think of on television, if you watched Dynasty and you saw the Carringtons, or if you watched other shows with the big unhappy family with a very powerful father, a bunch of miserable children who are all screwed up. It was every single cliche we've ever seen on television playing out, and every single one of them wants to kill every other one of them, right?
Mm-hmm.
So here's my question about them, and I want to see if you haven't said anything yet. So, Karen, you watched Justified, right?
No, I did not watch Justified.
You didn't? I thought you watched Justified. I got such a Justified vibe from that second episode. Now that's a good thing, but a bad thing because it's like they're trying to be Justified and they can't. that family season three or four of Justified. There was this, redneck family that was well-connected in town. You know, it's just basically everything we just saw. I mean, obviously the family's connected. The cop takes Cassie, you know, Jenny's laying in a pit of dead things. Now, and I had so many problems with some of that stuff. Like first of all, I get
too.
Cassie, she's being taken by a cop, so I get why she didn't completely fight it, but I just felt like she should have put up more of a fight. I mean, she could have totally taken that little dweeb.
I know.
Why Jenny hasn't already pulled her gun on little Clampett there is beyond me. And speaking of guns, the show starts off... Okay, I realize you guys are just private investigators and you're only worried about the guy. And why haven't you pulled your gun? Or, I mean, why did you put your guns down and say, okay, you guys can leave and we'll forget all about this? Like, no. You have the upper hand and you tell them to get down on the ground and, you know, then you call the cops because we know they didn't call the cops. Like, I don't understand why they let those guys go. That was just ridiculous. That made no sense to me whatsoever for these two women who, above anything else, always try to do the right thing. And letting those guys go was clearly the wrong thing. Like, I really thought that they were going to let them go, and they were going to be killing somebody. And then Jenny and Cassie were like, oh, God, we fucked up.
And
that was just
later,
ridiculous.
They end up shooting people. I do feel like sometimes they shoot people with no impunity. Like, can PIs just go around shooting people? Like, no.
Yeah, I think they realized they weren't cops.
That's the funny thing.
They could have called
cops. That's the funny thing. She ends up shooting the blonde guy later, who she could have just shot in the beginning of the episode and been done with it. You know what I mean? Like, at least he was holding, you know, it's just, it made no sense. And, of course, the Fed, you know, he's like, she recognized the guy on the wall. Oh, I just saw this guy today. Who is he? Like, really? Are you kidding me? Like,
yeah, that was lame.
Come on. And that's the other, and I'm not sure what his, I mean, I guess the feds are trying to get Ronald to lead them to the other people, but I'm not even sure if Ronald knows anything as far as the other people, because everything went through what's-his-face, because... And did he leave a note for Ronald?
No.
When he put it under that rock?
Oh, yes, he left a note on the mother's grave. I thought the note was like, when you're ready to talk, call me. But it could be
supposed to be for his mother. I thought it was like him kind of saying, oh, I slept with, like pretending that he was going out with his mother or something, so he'd like go off the rails. That's how I took it. I took it as a message to the mother, not to Ronald.
Oh, I mean, that could be wrong. That guy is a terrible character.
Love,
I hate that guy.
Yeah.
He's very
weird. I liked him. I thought he was funny.
And speaking of other characters, did you recognize the Fed, Karen?
Who?
The guy playing, I don't know the character.
The guy who plays
the
Marshal? No.
Yeah.
No, who was that actor?
That was Vic on... The Affair.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm looking at him the whole episode. I'm like, I know him. What do I know him from?
Yeah,
and then all of a sudden it clicked. He's a lot grayer in this.
Yeah. Yeah, everyone in this show is. So that guy is annoying, but I think they're setting him up to be so weird that he's going to become either best friends with these girls or maybe become even romantically involved with one of these girls, with I guess, Jenny.
Yeah.
I thought he was funny, but I don't know that I wanted to be involved with one of them.
I figured he was going to become involved with Cassie.
There's no way this show allows these two women to not have romantic entanglements. Like, that's coming, right?
This is true.
I don't like him. I felt much like Jenny. Like, I don't trust him, and I did feel like he wants to come in and get them to help
him,
and then he'll get all the credit. I don't trust him as another law enforcement person. I don't trust him because there's no way he requested a transfer to Helena. So they're portraying Helena as this ridiculous, tiny, racist little town, right? And not as bad as the new town that they're in, Locksa, or whatever it's called.
Well, maybe
but,
it's really because he was tracking that other guy.
He's up to something that he's not letting on. but he's not nearly as annoying as the entire Kleinsasser family, which, of course, the one brother is making meth in his trailer. And, of course, like,
yeah.
I think that the father told one of the brothers to beat up Rosie because she knows something, maybe about the meth or about something else. Like, Blake is obviously innocent, right? Like, I believe that Blake
Yeah, the little crazy one did it.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's obviously the little crazy one, the younger crazy one.
I really hated the crazy one because I felt like they just made it so ridiculous. Like, of course he blasts heavy metal out of his truck. And, of course, he plays the knife. And like, when he says about his sister,
yeah.
he says, if she talks, I'll cut her like a pony. What does that even mean? Like, people are just, like,
I don't know.
Like completely, they're so over-the-top ridiculous. Like, I get them being, like, the most, look, we've seen this. This is Dallas, right? This powerful ranching family that runs the town. Or any other show we've seen. They're so.
Well, I don't know about Dallas. That's why I brought Justified. They're very redneck.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So yeah.
I don't think the Ewings ever did meth.
No, you're right. They were civilized. I just thought that they were so all of them ridiculously over the top, and quickly at the end. The end made me uncomfortable the way both of our main characters ended up. But I'll set that aside, Jamie, until you
yeah.
go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, what did you think about, I can't think of his name, but now I want to say Sheriff Clampett because you're just making me think about that, but he wants to retire and now suddenly he wants Jenny to be sheriff. Like, he's so pissed at everything they did before, now suddenly she's like sheriff material. I thought that was
well
a little odd.
He's been
yeah.
trying to get
I
agree.
Mean, I can't
agree with
buy
you.
It, but I thought it was funny.
I don't think it's surprising because the whole first half of the season – He kept telling Jenny, as soon as you want your badge, you know, come,
That's
you know,
true.
You should be, you know, he kept trying to convince her
like
to be a cop again.
I just feel like they didn't follow
again.
The rules even once, you know, and then he's like, you should be the law on this time. I don't know. For whatever reason, it just struck me as it
well,
didn't make
sense. I mean, at
but...
least she's an ex-cop. I mean, she won't
yeah.
do it because the whole premise is that they're partners in the PI
yeah.
firm,
yeah.
right? But I mean, I kind of wish they wouldn't look. I'm not crazy about that sheriff, but, like, to retire that character already is a little bit crazy. Like, try to build a better character. And
well,
yeah,
he's
Jenny
wanting to retire.
It
doesn't mean he will.
Yeah.
Well, yeah,
I don't think he's going to. Jenny,
I
think Jenny won't do it. And is Jenny really cool? Okay, so first of all, the outgoing sheriff doesn't get to just pick the new sheriff, right? You either have to run for election.
Yeah, you have to run for it.
Or get appointed, depending on what your town. Sometimes
then he can
you
make
her
the deputy and then quit.
Yeah.
And I know that doesn't necessarily work here, I'm just saying.
I mean, this show has made it very clear that Jenny and Cassie are outsiders. And so for suddenly to be in line to be the biggest insider is a little crazy.
Weird.
But I guess when you want to retire, just like, whatever, can somebody just replace me so I can get the hell out of here? So the ending, I really hated the ending for a couple of reasons. So the less problematic person is Jenny, who falls into a pit full of trash, right?
Dead cows or something, yeah.
Well, but you knew it was going to happen because, okay, there was that ridiculous scene earlier where the younger brother, whose name is, I forget his name, but Cuckoo, younger brother, is like, I used to watch them swimming naked, and I thought how good she'd look in a trash pit with all those dead cows, right? I'm like, what the hell am I watching? This is like the worst movie ever. And then, of course, by the end of it, she ends up falling in a trash pit, which I felt like was really not, first of all, it bothers me for her to trip. Like, I just like feel like these are supposed to be capable women. And it was like such the typical you're running and you fall thing. I'm like, are you kidding me? She's running and she falls into the trash pit. And this guy's going to jump on her. And I didn't love that both of the female, like both of the women, like we have two women who are like cowering in fear almost. But like we talked a lot in the beginning
especially
of the show.
Especially because they shouldn't be.
I don't want to watch a show that women are just always in peril. And these, yes, Jamie, as you said, they both they shouldn't be. Now, the Jenny story, I have separate issues with that.
You mean Cassie?
Cassie's story, but Jenny, I don't know. I felt like really Jenny fell in a trash pit because like three scenes ago, some cuckoo crazy, that guy's obviously insane, right? I don't know. How'd you guys feel about that? Seeing that? It bothers me.
It didn't really, that she fell in it. I mean, it was annoying, but I didn't really think about it that way. What I was kind of thinking about though is the fact that when his partner got killed or whatever, or no, that's the other guy. Sorry, I'm thinking of two different things at once. The other thing that irritated me is the one guy that that the marshal was after. His, not the one he was after, his friend, his partner,
the
whatever, his boyfriend.
Snail man?
Yeah. I don't, what?
His name was Snail. His name was Snail. The guy, you mean the two
okay,
guys that were trading the horse sperm in the beginning? His villain name was Snail.
Okay, I didn't know what it was. But anyway, the fact that like he took his partner out of there so they couldn't find him in that, but yet he left all the blood all over the antlers. I was kind of like, I mean, I guess these guys are stupid, but he wrapped up the sheet and he was like, you know, if you follow that, you'll find, you know, who you're looking for. But it's like, but yet they cleaned up none of the blood. So I thought that was dumb. And then also, what the heck? I don't know if it's just because these people are such hicks that they're supposed to be, you know, stupid, but like, why are they to begin with selling horse semen? Like, that was just a dumb storyline there.
Actually, I thought that was kind of a decent storyline.
I mean, does that really happen?
Yeah. So I don't know if it really happened.
They're cow or horses, though, I guess. Yeah, I thought it was supposed to be horses from his farm at first. That's why I was like, well, it can't be.
I can't say I know if that's an actual criminal enterprise. It is true that people will pay like $100,000 or $200,000 to have their horse inseminated with a champion stud. So to me, it was believable that could be
it's weird, though.
Happening. And it was a little bit interesting, unusual sort of criminal enterprise. But, yeah, it cost that much to have your champion horse bred with another horse. To me, it was believable. I mean, maybe Jimmy, what's not believable is that they continue to have them be in this town where every single part of the show is very sort of like Western country, you know, from the, like, can we just have a normal,
you know what it is? We're
anyway.
Getting locales that aren't for the area that this show is based in.
Yeah. Yeah. So quickly, the other thing at the end was when Cassie was like, you know, obviously
arrested.
She's arrested. Obviously, we know that these client sassers run the town, and they send this like deputy to go like arrest Cassie for kind of no reason. I mean, she's had a couple of drinks, and then
it's because the older brother didn't like that she blew him off.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I don't necessarily think that one's bad. I think it's going to turn out that brother maybe wasn't as bad, but we don't really know. I don't know.
I don't know about that.
I just did.
Oh, no, he's the guy.
Yeah,
that's John Wayne. He's the guy that wants to inherit the whole ranch. He has the greatest
I think
move
the one
of all
The one that's in prison
name,
is probably the best of all of them, ironically.
The other thing I found strange, and I guess just because I don't know, not that it matters, but I just was interested, she said, you can really refuse a breathalyzer? I'm not sure why you would, though, because it pretty much proves you're drunk. If you're like, I'm not going to take
that's,
one.
No, that's, it doesn't prove anything, but you have the right to refuse it. You're
you
better
right
off
to
just
refuse
doing
it.
It
it's kind of like if you're not, you should do it, yeah.
You
yeah,
have
you're
the
better
right to
off just
it,
doing it, but.
But in many states, they have the right to immediately arrest, like refusing is a crime in a lot of states. So the right to refuse it, but they have
that.
The right to arrest you in a lot of places. Like in some places, they can arrest you for refusing it, and you still get taken in. But depending where you are, you can refuse it. And if you refuse it sometimes, it might take 5 or 6 hours before they actually, like, can get through to testing you, and by then you might not be drunk anymore.
By then you're not. That's true.
Yeah.
So she gets pulled over, and you know, we have this thing where, so I'm not sure how to talk about this because we have a black woman who's pulled over by this white sheriff, it's a situation that's dangerous for her, not necessarily because of race. Like yes, there's always on the show, like, she's the only person of color on the show, and that's always there. But we know she's being pulled over really because of her snooping around, right? It's not like necessarily like a, like we've seen on, like, AJ, we saw on Lovecraft, where it was a sundown county to get out, right? Like, she's being pulled over not because of racist reasons, but because she's been snooping around, they're going to try to scare her. But there's always that element of like, a black people being pulled over by police, of course. Especially, I watched that show tonight on the day that the Derek Chauvin, like, verdict came down. So, of course, that was in my mind. But I got to say, when I watched it, I felt a little more, as a woman watching her being pulled over by this man in the middle of the dark, I was like, oh, my God, what's he going to do to her? Like, she's a woman being pulled over alone in Nowheresville by a man.
Yeah, I kind of felt like he acted like he was going to try to rape her or something, too. I mean, I knew he was doing it because they want them out of there. But I kind of had the same thought, too, that it was more because she was a woman than anything. Well, and because, you know, she's in the way. But
all I kept thinking the whole time is, Kathy can totally take this guy. I really didn't have any. Which is why it bothered me that she looked so scared when she totally can take this guy. I mean, I get it. She's scared now because they, like, drive past the police station and everything. But initially, I'm thinking that she's going to put up a bigger fight, you know?
Like, yeah, but I guess she's not just going to pull a gun on a cop, and she's a former cadet. Maybe she trusts the system more than she should. I don't know.
I'm not saying she should pull her gun on him, but I think, you know, at least bringing up the sheriff from Heller, you know, and being like, hey, listen.
Well,
but I think in the back of her mind, I think,
because, I mean,
yeah.
She obviously is going to get
she's not going to the station, though, so.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
I definitely, like you, Jamie, I definitely felt the vulnerability of being a woman, being locked in the car with a man. Of course, I'm a white person, so I can't, you know, like,
yeah, it's obviously
the idea
the
that she's
thing,
a
but
she's a black person being, you know, being pulled over by a cop, I can't feel that. So I guess there was a bunch of levels going on there. It does seem a little bit, I mean, if we think about it, they're not going to kill her, right? Like, they're trying to scare her.
No.
Well, yeah.
Like, this is a town.
I think
the Kleinsassers are, like, more than anything, they're bullies, right? And they just bully their way around to running this town. And, like, are they going to kill her? And we see the promo for next week where, what's his name? The marshal shows up and he says, oh, Marshal, you arrested my friend last night. So they sort of, like, blow that, right? Like, as every promo does. I just shouldn't watch promos. But yeah,
yeah.
I felt more of a, maybe it's because this show also has been so much about, like, women's vulnerability and human trafficking and all that. Right. Like, she's in that position where she's in that position,
which is why
in the, can't get out of the car.
Right.
Which
I think
why I had
played it too, though. I mean, it was definitely,
yeah, I think another reason I had a problem. It feels like they're starting the second half of the season how they started the first episode ever. And I was just like, really? You can't do anything else? And especially when these two women have been shown to to play with the big boys, you know? Like, they aren't intimidated easily. They're not just going to roll over and cry in the corner, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
Actually, no
I
think on
the writing
show
has
been like this so far, right?
The writing
on
this show is very lacking.
Yes. Yeah, this was not a good, this is not a great mid-season premiere. I mean, did it need to be 2 hours? I don't know. There was probably 1 hour too much of these cuckoo small town rancher people.
Well, it wasn't.
Did
it
really it
wasn't
feel
2 hours,
like
it was
one
just
long
two
episode,
episodes.
Though? I think it was just two episodes for whatever reason they aired two in the same week.
Yeah, it was two episodes. You're right.
But
yeah.
Right, I don't think it was meant to be a 2 episode premiere.
Yeah, unfortunately, had to watch 2 straight hours.
So before we wrap up, I know we got to move on. The thing that was lacking for me was, like, in the first part of the season, we talked a lot about how the show was kind of bad, and yet every week I was like, I can't wait to watch it and see what happens. Like, it was so strangely compelling, right? And I was into it.
I didn't feel that way.
This is bad, but sometimes I was like, ah. Oh. And, like, today I was like, I cannot believe that I have to watch this again next week. These Klein-Sassers, I would like to see maybe Michelle Forbes is always an interesting person. She's a good actress. She's played some great characters. She's by far the most interesting part of that family.
Yeah, I'd much rather see her try to sneak and poison her husband or something. I mean, that would be more interesting.
I thought she did.
And she almost did.
No,
right?
I know. She was about to. Yeah, but that's what I mean. That was more interesting. I would have rather seen more of that.
Well, like when he was choking, she almost didn't give him the water. But earlier,
maybe
when Michelle Forbes says, I need it, and then her daughter gives her a pill and says, don't worry, it's almost over. I was like,
see, I didn't get that. I didn't get that. I thought she just needed, like, a anxiety pill or something from her. I didn't get that. And now I'm like, duh, Jamie.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, and the daughter is
Yeah, it's Britt Robertson.
Yes, thank you. I couldn't think
the
of
circle.
Her name. Which
yeah, at least
I didn't recognize.
Circle, wasn't it?
She had so much makeup in that first scene. I didn't recognize her at first. It wasn't until later that I was like, oh, my God, that's Britt Robertson.
Yeah. And I don't know. Like, I think they want you to think she'll turn on her brothers, and I wonder if she might be the most worst of them all, right? It's hard to figure out.
Yeah,
I feel like the brothers
really
are kind
hard.
Of dumb, and she might be the smartest one in the whole operation.
Yeah, maybe.
Won't be the first time.
All right. We've given this way more time than we should.
Yeah.
Are you guys, anything else? Should we talk about
best
show of the week? What was the best show this week, you guys? Manifest. I can't believe this was the best show on our podcast this week because there were so many weeks last year where I was like, this is the worst. And look, I'm not saying it was a great episode because there are some issues with it, but the story's actually better.
The story's pretty solid.
And AJ, as you were saying before Jamie joined us, they're focusing on the right characters.
Yeah, focusing on Olive and adding Holly Taylor to the cast, I mean, just made the show better in itself.
Yeah.
But we complain about stuff like this all the time, but you know what I really like about the show is we've gotten to know these characters over two seasons and a couple episodes now. I feel like so far this season, everybody is really playing to their strengths of their character. Like, we know what the characters are going to do because they have been they've stayed pretty true to themselves once they established what their characters were. And to that point, you know, Mikhail is yelling at Ben in this episode about taking it easy, and he's like, I can't, you know, which is what we know. Ben just has to keep going. And it's funny because Karen complained about it last week, and I pointed out, but he's in character because that's Ben. It drives us nuts, but at least he's doing what he always does. I'm not sure what's up with the guy that helped him save the kid. And I'll tell you what, talk about coincidences with calling. I really enjoyed the fact that this kid that they're having a calling about, who's going to die in this fire if they don't get him out. So they get him out. He turns out to be the brother of one of the Shadow Men. The urn.
No, wait, which one's the brother of one of the Shadow Men? The one who stole the stuff?
The kid that,
oh, that's right, because he took
kid,
the stuff.
The kid that
the
they saved
kid.
in the museum, in the ridiculous museum.
Yeah. Well, the storage.
I'm trying to remember if I knew that. I might just be forgetting it, but I'm not remembering that he was his brother.
And then the urn has a missing piece of the, whatever the heck that
of the
puzzle-looking thing they were looking at was.
That papyrus or whatever it was.
Thank you, yeah. That's the word I was looking for. So I thought that was really cool the way it was, you know, it was more, a lot of times the callings are kind of weak and everything. This actually had purpose and kind of brought things together. My problem, though, is how are they ever going to find that I mean, he stole Ben's bag, and he had, you know, he had his ID and everything, and then he throws it in the garbage in the city. There's just no way they can, unless the calling tells him where to find that, there's no way they're ever going to find that. Like, I'm almost afraid to see how they find it.
Well, I mean, so I put it where I thought that that guy, Egan was his name, maybe? The guy that was playing
Egan.
Jeff in the Park. Egan.
Something like that.
There was a point where I thought maybe he might not only be a one-episode guy. Like, he might recur, it felt like, for a minute, but then by the end
that's what
like,
I thought at first, too.
Right?
I think he's
then
still
by the
right.
end, I felt like he's a one-and-done. I think that it's possible that he might throw that in the trash and somebody will take it out of the trash. Because his ID is, like, they made a big point of showing that his ID is clipped onto that. Like, when Egan showed the ID in the pawn shop, it had been clipped onto Ben's bag.
Right.
So it's possible maybe somebody takes it out of the trash.
And it has his address on it.
Yeah.
I think.
Which is,
yeah, that's
you should
how
never
find
your
him,
ID,
probably.
Right? And that
or
it's somehow
it, no,
finds
I
his way back.
It doesn't have his address. But it says it's professor and it says the school, so they might bring it to the school.
Yeah.
So we say, hey, I found this.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't think about that.
I mean, I think that might be how it finds its way back.
At least they probably don't have their social security numbers on it anymore.
Yeah.
Our badges had our social security numbers right on the front of them. Just saying, our college
Ooh.
IDs. Whoops. And that was horrible, but that was the way it was, and you couldn't change it. But I don't know that they do that now. That was like the dumbest thing.
No, they wouldn't do it now.
Sorry,
but
I just had to mention how stupid and annoying that was, because that's not good.
Yeah.
Because they were right on the front of it. Sorry, go ahead.
I did feel like the kid they rescued out of the fake, that little, it wasn't a museum, but it was a warehouse full of artifacts.
It was a warehouse full of museum stuff.
Facility or something, yeah.
Well, I did think that it was the most ridiculous. So it's funny because, like, this guy Egan is like, listen, if you're a private collector, this is where you keep your stuff, which was kind of ridiculous because I'm a private collector. I want to keep it maybe in my house to look at it, but whatever. It's a sort of, like, warehouse full of artifacts that collectors are keeping there, right? And it's so secure because there's a chain, there's a wrought iron fence at the front that they can't climb over. No, let's go around the back and climb in this little vent, right? It's like the least secure building in all of New York City, but whatever, they get in there. And then the kid turns out to be Corey's little brother. So the calling is not done, right? That calling is going to keep calling because the point of the calling was not the – I mean, this is actually a weird calling. It's a two-point calling because it's about the piece of paper, but it also leads to – I mean, we call them the meth heads, but they're not really meth heads. They're meth dealers.
I call them the shadow men.
which is really who they are. And it's turning out more and more that two of them are not that bad. So the one guy who's in jail.
Yeah. Well, we always kind of knew that.
Right? And then Corey turns out to really love his mother and his brother. But meanwhile, Jace is, like, pulling the Silence of the Lambs where he's, like, cutting out Michaela's eyes and her picture. Like, he's just gone. I mean, it's another bad example of a character that's just gone, like, way, way over the top. He was a bad dude.
I know
but he kidnapped Cal for a reason. I mean, it was a stupid reason, but it was to get his meth back. Now he's just a complete psychopath, right?
Well, now he wants revenge.
Now he.
Cal and Cal once again, unbeknownst to him, is sending messages to these three again, which is technically the calling doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you guys think? I mean, Cal's really connected to them, right?
I think everybody's kind of connected. I mean, Angelina's connected to what's his name in jail there. I mean, this whole thing that's going on.
Anybody with
the
calling,
it
gets connected.
You know what? This season is very connected. The way all these pieces, you know, are kind of fitting together and moving around and stuff. What else happened this episode? There was something else
just them.
Well, no, but I just feel like everything is like the thing I don't get though is why they're so connected to the shadows. You know, they're not 828ers, So I'm not really sure.
No, but,
like,
but Zeke was on the
plane,
and Cal was, Cal was very connected to Zeke when Zeke first came around. Like, when they first met Zeke, when he was looking in the cave or whatever, that was all Cal. And the guy in the river, Griffin, the guy that died in the river. Like, they were connected.
Is Cal, like, the catalyst or something? He seems to be in the middle of everything.
Cal's the antenna.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
Catalyst antenna,
yeah. That makes sense.
That reminds me, speaking of Zeke real quick, I get the feeling that maybe his callings aren't completely gone, or they've kind of changed how they work with him for some, because he got that little vibe, you see that little vibe thing, and then he goes over and he talks to, what's her face there?
Eve's mom, yeah. Beverly, right? Is
yeah.
Beverly?
Beverly, yeah, Beverly.
That stuff was so sad.
There was something. There was something else I wanted to bring up though, because before I forget about it, I really don't trust the quote-unquote daughter of the major, because NSA knows the major. The NSA knows the major is dead. So if the NSA knows the major is dead, why doesn't her daughter? Wouldn't you think the NSA would call and be like, "Hey, honey, we're really sorry, but mommy's dead." No.
Even if they don't tell her why.
They'd be like, "Oh, your mom was in a car crash on a base in Texas. Sorry."
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
But what about Vance in this episode? Or is he only in the very end?
Yeah, he was sprinkled in. I liked the way Vance was powerful, and Vance was like, "Yeah, whatever, I'm out." He's like, "I'm quitting," and they keep saying,
like,
"No, you're in."
Me.
I mean, I like that. I like
that
we saw Powell.
Him, yeah.
I like that we saw Powell being the weasel that he is, and I like that Vance was like, "Whatever, I'm out." But we know that Vance is not really out. When Vance says he's out, we know Vance is just in his own way, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, He even says, "You need me more than I need you." So,
yeah. And at the end, they're like, "Well, what if we show you something that'll get you in?" So they're like, "You'll have total control. You're totally in charge. Whatever, do it." I mean, he's going to do it, but he's going to actually, you know, be doing his thing. We know that he can't be seduced by power the way the rest of them are.
And here's, for me, the ridiculousness of this part. And it's not the episode itself, but, you know, Powell takes Vance and he's like, "Look at this." And Vance goes and looks. And we get credits. Now, here's why it's funny to me. That would be a great, "Oh, my God" moment. What are they showing him? I want to see, too.
What it was.
No. We've already seen it. In the commercial.
The preview
they've been showing.
Yeah.
For the last month, before the show even started.
Is that the plane? Yeah.
Yes. They've already showed us what he's seeing. So it's like, once again, the PR department has totally screwed
the
show.
PR department, yeah. They need to, like, talk to each other because they always do this.
Yeah, it's the whole plane. So,
totally takes away from
the
suspense.
And why
totally takes away from the
suspense spoilers when they do shit like that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I really like Vance. He's a character that I missed for a long time. I'd like to see him.
Yeah.
And I'm looking forward to seeing him more with Ben and less with Sanvi, because Sanvi's storyline to me is less interesting. Now, she got a visit from Jared this week, who Jared is, like, innocently investigating the major's daughter's case, and he comes to Sanvi, who, I'm sorry, if I was a cop, I'd arrest Sanvi in 1 second. She's a complete nervous wreck. I cannot believe that Jared, like, doesn't pick up. He's the worst cop. He and Michaela are both horrible, horrible cops. They don't pick up on anything. And Sanvi's, like, a complete disaster when he shows up, right? What, she had a daughter? I mean, Sanvi... So that is going to not... I mean, I think that's not going to go well. And yet, Sanvi... Sanvi hasn't really done anything for about 3 episodes besides be nervous. So, like, I wish that she would become a little more interesting. I mean, granted, it looks like the storyline is going less scientific and more magically oriented. So we don't need a scientist as much, maybe?
You know what the funny thing is? It always seems like whatever they show us it's going to be, it ends up not being. So the fact that this season is like is kind of showing us that it's mythological, I don't think it's going to be.
Mm-hmm, probably. And what about so I was just going to say, what about the glowing, I think I forget what it was, metal, whatever
glowing
it was
hand?
That, you put that was from Ben. Yeah, from the glow. But
Ben's glowing
I forget,
hand.
What he touched something or something and it glowed too, right? Whatever Sanvi put in her, I forget exactly what it was. But
when he touched
do you think
the
it's
plane.
Just like as he got close to it? Yeah, I don't know if it's just kind of like... No, but I mean, is there more to it, or is it maybe just kind of like how when you meet your, like a thing like a paradox type, like it's a paradox, so it glows. I don't know. It's not a paradox, but I mean
I
that
no
kind
idea.
Of thing. Like that's what I think of. Like you see your past self,
I mean,
something weird happens.
That raises the issue, like if the plane crashed and they all died, then what are they right now, right? Like if the plane didn't come through, if the plane crashed and exploded, like the vision they keep
There's
seeing is exploding. Right? Then are they dead and why are they alive? Are they angels? Are they resurrected? Are they what?
Did
right?
they go through an alternate universe? There's also that possibility.
Yeah. I mean, I've always liked that as a look, I prefer that to coming back to life, of course, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Did one was it a dual universe thing and they came through and they shouldn't have? The glowing hand, I don't like the glowing hand because it sort of feels more magical and less, I mean, I hate to call like dual universes scientific, but it feels more scientific to me, right? With no,
no I get
look,
what you
let's
mean.
Let's face it, anytime any show that I watch has something that glows, it's always bad. There was Lost, there's
glowing,
Disney,
glowing,
there's this, like anything that glows is bad.
I don't know. I just figure it's like reacting to him somehow since he was part of that. But why? I don't know.
Yeah, we don't know yet. I'm sure we'll find out more.
So I did really like the kids in this episode. And you know, I don't, like, I wasn't always the biggest fan of Cal because I don't always like kids on shows.
Cal's gotten better.
He has gotten better, and Cal and Olive are better. Like, I feel like Cal and Olive on the phone and talking back and forth, like, I feel like the kids are going to solve it. The kids are way, as you said, AJ, way more to the mystery. And maybe now that Cal's a little bit older, I feel like I know he's 5 years younger than his twin sister, but now that he's a little older, they're feeling a little more like partners than like little sister, big sister, little kid. Like, I liked them both in this episode. I like the way they're working together.
Yeah, they've always had a pretty good dynamic, even when he was younger, but it's definitely better now that he's getting older, which is a good segue. Which is a good segue to, once again, comment, God, Grace is really awful. And then she ends up making it about herself and her brother, who is apparently, who is a wonderful person. It's like, oh, my God, I wish I could have been there for you. I had no idea Cal had cancer. Like, Grace, your son can have cancer, and you can also be there for your stepfather, who apparently you thought of as your father. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. The writers have done a really bad job with her. Like, every time she gains a little ground with me, they just make her awful. I mean, which is good, because, you know, at least it's consistent.
I mean, I agree. She was very unsympathetic. The brother was very sympathetic, and she was very unsympathetic. And like she played the cancer card. Like I thought it was kind of bitchy to be like, oh, by the way, I never told you Cal had cancer. So now you shut down your brother who can never, like, what? Like, it was so great of him, you're right, to say like, oh my God, is he okay? Oh my God, when you tell me. But she's like kept it a secret for 11 years. So she could play
it's like, you shouldn't
at
be mad for me.
Moment.
Be mad at me because this happens to me. Like, that doesn't excuse it.
Yeah. And AJ said, you can take care of your kid and still be part of your family. Like, I'm sorry, your child has cancer, so you decide to never speak to your father and your brother ever again? Like, it's not clear to me what they did that was so bad that she couldn't. Seems like her brother would have been actually really nice about it, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Grace is pretty bad.
Bad.
I can't believe she raised a nice kid like Olive.
That's funny. All right.
While we did kind of complain, it was the best show of the week.
Yeah,
one of the top two of the week.
I mean, well, listen, even our favorite show, we had problems with Lost, too.
Oh, yes, we did.
Yeah.
We have problems. There's no show that we're like, this was great.
Yeah.
Well, there are some, but, yeah.
No, I mean, I can't think of a show that I was like, oh, my God, everything was wonderful. There was no problems since, like, the first season of The 100.
Yeah, that was great. Yeah. And maybe first season of His Dark Materials, yeah. But it's rare. So, all right, Jamie.
So I did want to mention, in case you guys want to see it. No, I was just going to say, I started watching The Nevers. I'm like midway through the second episode. It's a pretty good show. I like it. I think you guys might like it. I know it didn't get real great reviews. I haven't really read the reviews because I wanted to watch it first. But I know it didn't get super high reviews from everybody. But I think it's pretty cool. I was confused by the first episode, which I honestly think it's because I was like multitasking and not paying as much attention as I should have. I'm going to rewatch it. And if I'm still confused, then maybe, you know, maybe it wasn't. But it's pretty good. It's about it takes place in Victorian times, and it's about, they're mostly women, but people. I think it's supposed to be people that maybe would be, I don't want to say necessarily lower in society, but like the people that don't get listened to and that are like not high society, if that makes sense. But anyway, they get quote unquote touched, and they have what they call turns. They have like special supernatural powers. And there's like an orphanage that they're bringing all the people in because they were attacked trying to kill the ones with powers, because obviously some of them are scared. But also, it's not just that. The other interesting thing is one of them is a serial killer who's totally crazy. But it's pretty good. I like it. And it's like I had said when I told you guys, it's like steampunk because the one woman, she's like an inventor. And I don't know. It's different. I like it. I'm going to see. I like to watch more and see where it goes.
It's on
so
HBO?
Far, it's pretty good. Yeah, it's on HBO, yeah. I think it's HBO rather than HBO Max, I want to say. I'm watching it on HBO Max because I don't have HBO anymore. But it comes out a week at a – it's been out a week at a time, so I'm not sure for sure what the – which is the main channel, but it's, I guess, on both.
It's on HBO.
Yeah, I think so, but it's definitely on Max.
And of course, this was the Joss Whedon show, right? Joss Whedon was the
started out as
and,
yeah. I'm not sure.
You know,
I think maybe
he's
just
not,
the pilot.
He's
again,
not
I'm
with
honestly
it
not sure. No,
I think
he's not.
Maybe it was just the pilot that he did. He's no longer part of the show.
Maybe, but I mean, I haven't seen, you know, Joss Whedon's more recent stuff. But if I hadn't known that, like, it doesn't scream Joss Whedon to me. It's more of a, I mean, it's dark in places, but it's definitely not like what I think of when I think of Joss Whedon, so I don't know. But it's pretty good. You know, I want to see how it goes. I like it so far. I think you guys might, but yeah.
All right.
That is what it's about, people with sort of supernatural powers. And it's also kind of got a lot to, or at least
what
I think
is
it's going through the way it's going of, like, people getting, like, they're not, I'm trying to think of the right way to say it, like, they're ostracized because they're not normal, quote-unquote, now, so. But they're also scared of them, and, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I have a question. What do you think of when you think Joss Whedon?
Well, I haven't
Buffy
watched
the Vampire
probably
Slayer,
many of you guys sure
there,
but I think of, yeah, Buffy, Firefly, that Dr.
Fire.
Horrible or
well,
whatever.
Yeah, those,
like those
well,
kind
those,
of lighter
those are,
shows.
Well, Buffy's kind of dark. Angel was kind of dark, and they
well,
had powers.
I've never actually watched Buffy, so. Well, no, but
Buffy,
I mean, I
dark,
when I associate Whedon, I definitely see something lighter. I have not ever watched Buffy, so I think I've seen like one episode of Buffy and one episode of Angel.
Oh, okay.
And the one I
All
saw
right.
of Angel was with the Muppets, so that doesn't really count.
Okay, so,
but no,
so had you seen Angel or Buffy? So had
no,
you
no,
seen
I,
Angel
I,
or Buffy, you would be like, oh, this is right up his alley.
Okay. Well, then, yeah, maybe. I just meant when I think of it, it's not like a Firefly Dr. Horrible, like, silly comedy. It's not like, I mean, not that those are super,
yeah,
both super silly.
And then
silly
he was
comedy,
tied to,
you know,
Marvel,
yeah,
for a while, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So Buffy,
but anyway,
was a little,
I liked it.
I mean, Buffy was a little, not super dark, but a little, and then Angel was,
yeah,
yeah. So, I mean, I feel like,
I may eventually watch those, but I don't. Not, I mean, not because of him, obviously, but I mean, just because I know a lot of people.
I mean, obviously,
like
we haven't
it,
seen
I mean,
it, so
yeah,
we don't know how dark it is, but those are, like,
no, it's not.
Darker themes. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's not all dark. I'm just saying what I think of Joss Whedon, it's not.
Okay.
Gotcha.
But,
all right,
but
we'll put
good
on the list.
I liked it so far. But like I said, I've only seen 1.5, so we'll see. All
okay
right. Well, I guess that's about it for tonight, then. We've gone over 2 hours.
I know, we got to do better next week, but we had a 2 hour, we had a 2 hour big surprise. So
yeah, that, I mean,
technically
speaking, we had six episodes tonight, and it's only 11:45, so I don't think we did that bad.
No, not bad.
We didn't do too bad.
All right.
You know, what's today?
And next week.
Today's the 20th, right? So next week, I want to say, I think, is when Gary's coming. I should have written
yes,
it down.
I
told you guys.
Week,
I think it's next week.
Yeah.
We're talk about his next episode, right?
What's today? Today's the, yeah, it's got to be because today's
it
the 20th. Today's the 20th.
Today's 420, you guys.
Yeah, today's 420, so it's got to be the next week. Otherwise,
yeah,
after that, it's
so,
May.
Yeah, so.
Yep.
Well, yeah,
Gary will
I'm
be
not
here
sure about,
yeah.
I don't think it's out quite yet with the other episodes coming out.
I was just going to say, reach out to Gary and find out when it's releasing so we can watch it.
Yeah,
or
yeah.
Or we can just
make sure
keep
I do
an eye for it.
Yeah. Well, it'll be on, obviously, on the YouTube page when it goes out. I think it's like the day before. I feel like for some reason he said it's at least on Monday, but I could be wrong. I don't know. My brain this week is fried, so I'll ask him.
All right, so that means
but,
we will take the first. That means you guys will take the 30 minutes of our podcast to talk with Gary and maybe some actors about the next episode of his show, right?
Right, Joyland, and then the rest of the show will pick
Joyland
up.
Yes.
Other shows.
Everything else. So what about Joyland? So everybody who's listening, watch Joyland. Find out what happens next, because I think last when we left it, there was a big fire, right?
Yep.
The club burned down in a fire.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, that's right.
And we'll find out what happens next to the characters. All right, cool.
Yep. Okay, well, I will see you guys next, or talk to you guys next week.
Have a
good
week, you guys. Yeah.
Okay, bye.
All right.
Guys.
Thank
Have
you, everybody,
night
for
bye
listening. Have a good night, ladies.
Yep. Thanks, everybody.
Do it again
bye
next
bye.
Good night.
Do it again next week.
Yep.
Good night.
Yay.